more to you people. And it is Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. For another day of broadcast insolence right here on 720 WGN Chicago.
Sarah Sanders at the podium, but only one network that I can see taking it live right now, Fox News. CNN, MSNBC opting not to take the White House press secretary's time at the podium.
That is, I think, weird.
It is, especially because there was a lot of people complaining that they're not giving enough access and they're not making themselves available to then not carry it. Might not be the right move.
Well, yeah, I think it's a bad, journalistically, I think it's a bad move for CNN and MSNBC to do this, but because they're 24-hour news channels, and the networks never took this stuff live unless there was a really important, you know, breaking development. It was very rare that the White House press briefing became anything, a regular television event until cable news started. Right. And then it was like, well, they had to fill the time. So it was like, what are we going to do? Oh, look, the White House is speaking. And it became its own thing. And then then the president tweeted that, you know, they were going to stop the briefings.
Right.
And that they were going to stop the briefings because people just want to become stars on CNN.
And they're mean to Sarah Sanders.
Right. And I asking the person who's responsible for representing the White House, the presidency of the United States, I think that's a pretty big deal. I think you got to have pretty thick skin and you got to be able to, you know, answer questions and not answer things that are respond to questions by answering in a way that is wholly inaccurate. And when you're saying it, it's inaccurate and the reporters start to call you out for saying something that's inaccurate, then you get mad at them because it's the way that the president, who, you know, likes to play in the sort of in the squishiness of facts.
That's a good way to put it. Right. Squishiness.
The squishiness of facts. Is a fact fungible? I don't know. Apparently,
I did not think so.
But, you know, like in raw numbers or whatever it happens to be. What's interesting about this, though, is they put up Larry Kudlow, Steve Mnuchin, and then Larry Kudlow.
Mm-hmm.
Was up talking about the economy and
how was his suit? Did he have a good suit? Kudlow,
you know, ever since the heart attack, and I feel badly for him because I like Larry a lot, and I don't understand why he chose to do this, because there was going to be no upside, I think, in a lot of ways. But he saw how hard it is, and maybe he did it out of a sense of patriotism, and he, you know, the president asked him, and he wants to do the right thing for the people of the United States of America.
Opportunity to serve your
country, yes. Right. I think there's a lot of people in the White House that are there for that. But then he has to get up there. And when you get up in a situation like this, where you're at the podium of the press room, if you don't say exactly what the president wants to hear, he's gonna bang you over the head. He's going to go on Twitter. Did you see what the president said? I must bring this up. What the president said on Twitter last night, or this morning, I'm sorry, about Howard Schultz?
I did, yes, taking aim at him after his 60 Minutes appearance, where it appears that he's certainly flirting with running for president as an independent candidate. Not a Democrat.
Right, which is a total piece of idiocy, I think, to do that, because that...
How has that worked for independents in the past?
It has never worked for independents in the past. And the whole point of this is that you have to get to a certain number of electoral college votes in order to do it. This isn't about winning the popular vote. As we have now seen a number of three times since 1960, we have seen that happen. So this is not a, you know, people go, oh, it's unusual, it's, you can't believe it. But there's an impediment to three people running for president in the general.
Right. David Axelrod, one of the first to line up reportedly to tell Howard Schultz not to run, but it will only hurt the Democrat in the race if he does. And he's been a big Democratic supporter, certainly with his money and donating to those types of political causes.
This is what the president tweeted this morning, and I find this very entertaining. Howard Schultz doesn't have the guts, in quotes, to run for president. Watched him on 60 Minutes last night, and I agree with him that he is not the smartest person. Besides, America already has that.
Not the smartest person?
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to read that sentence. America already has...
I'm just asking questions. I don't know.
Shots fired. You are a poop stirrer.
That is a bit of a poop stirring comment.
Yes.
All right. Go on. Carry on. Read the rest of it.
America already has that! ! I only hope that Starbucks is still paying me their rent in Trump Tower.
I know.
Okay. Now, I got to say, first of all, by calling himself the smartest person, That's one thing. And we kind of expect that. But he's now acknowledging in his tweet that he's still doing business at the Trump Tower.
And keeping track.
That he's paying me my rent. See, now that's that is the kind of thing that when you become president of the United States, we want you to give up all your other jobs and interests and put it all in kind of a blind trust. And I say kind of because they don't always put it in, in the blindest of trusts. Mm-hmm. But so you just turn your attention away from worrying about your monthly rent at one of your properties.
That is more of a power move, like you pay me rent. You know, I'm...
Oh, I know. Oh, no, you're right.
But there is that other way to read it that, okay, he's totally keeping track of all the rents coming in and not coming in, and that maybe he shouldn't be paying attention to that at the moment.
Right. I could do two things at once. No, you really can't. But it was really... It was entertaining in the sense that he's doing this and he's sending this message to the people of the United States of America that, A, he's the smartest person and he's very good at keeping track of who's paying rent. Thank you. And you know who's not paying rent?
Who?
Mexico.
All right.
Not paying the rent. Oh,
they're not paying for something.
Yeah. I think even his most ardent of supporters must be at this point going, oh, really? I mean, there's got to be a moment where people go, yeah, okay, I get it. I'm still with him. Yeah, I'm still with him. But there's got to be some cringe moments, I think, in all of this.
Yeah. You were talking about Larry Kudlow earlier. That's how you started this. Mm-hmm. And he was responding to that report today from the Congressional Budget Office that the economy, you know, it cost the economy $3 billion, actually $11 billion, but they figure that $8 billion will be recovered as the government reopens and people receive back pay and that kind of thing.
Right.
But the $11 billion was a pretty scary number, saying that it probably will cost the government still $3 billion.
So cost the economy. Wait, this is important. It will cost the economy $3 billion. When you start throwing numbers around like this, everybody has to understand exactly what it is. Now, this is a lag on the economy of $3 billion. Bad storms that go through have infinite numbers, you know, like what's going to happen here in Chicago and in the Midwest over the next couple of days will slow down the economy by numbers like that, too. And so that's a bigger, it's just people are using that as politics. And I get it. I understand it. It didn't cost the government this. And people are conflating those numbers by going, he wanted $5.7 billion for his wall. And it already cost us. It's totally two different pots of money that we're talking about.
But the Congressional Budget Office is nonpartisan. For them to come out with this number is still...
Yeah.
It's a...
But Larry's fighting with the number, though.
That's right.
Because Larry's fighting with the number going, he disagrees. But then at some point, Larry had to go, but they're professionals, so I respect them. You can't win for losing here because everybody wants to play with the facts. And that you cannot play... Facts are facts. But you also must be clear about what the fact is. And all of a sudden, I sound like an apologist here. I'm not. I'm on the side of truth, justice in the American way, but that's too much right now. I'm on the side of truth. And the truth loses every day, gets kicked in the cojones every single day. Cojones is a Spanish word used by a lot of people in Mexico. All right. And then there's Venezuela. Bob Baer, formerly of the CIA, is going to join us coming up at 3:40 to talk about that. And like last week, Adam Kinzinger was on with us, the congressman, mm-hmm. and he was like, he wanted to talk. That's what he called.
He
literally reached out to our producers and was like, can I get a few minutes to talk about Venezuela? Because there's something going on here. And there were so many other things that were happening last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, you know, is Venezuela really going to be top of mind? This week, it is not only top of mind, it is on the precipice of complete collapse. And what will that mean for the entire hemisphere, including our gas prices? It's a huge deal.
Yep.
So Bob Baer will explain what's going on there. So and I think the most shocking moment is of the entire week, the last 7 days, the greatest victim here right now, I think,
mm-hmm.
Roger Stone's dogs, who were scared by the raid.
It's not right.
Roger Stone standing in front of a house somewhere in D.C., I think, or in New York, somewhere up north today, saying that they went after him with more force than they went after Bin Laden.
I heard that.
Yeah, Bin Laden didn't walk away from that, as I recall.
No.
Roger, you're still standing there.
Very much so.
Yeah. And he complained about having to be photographed in a polo shirt as opposed to his suit. All right, we have got Ben Bradley coming up in just a moment. But first, let's check in with Kim Gordon and find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom. Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. Ben?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Let's talk first of all, there was a canine rescue on the lake yesterday.
I mean, this is incredible. Chicago police just within the last hour released the body cam footage from an officer who got a call that a guy had gone into Lake Michigan yesterday, right at Foster Avenue. He went in after his dog. He had just adopted this dog. The dog went in. The guy went in after the dog and quickly realized he couldn't get out.
Oh.
And the Chicago police officer, we're showing the video right now for those of you watching us on CLTV, went in with some rope attached to him, went right down to the edge. And as you know, there's almost like these big ice formations that form where the water meets the ground. And he was able, this officer, to pull this guy out, not only of the water, but also get him back to an area where the ice wouldn't be in jeopardy of cracking. And when you hear the video, when you see the video and kind of hear this officer just kind of coaxing him through, it's really remarkable. In fact, police shared a letter from the man who was rescued, who wants to remain anonymous. But among the things he said is, "I have no doubt that I would have died without that officer's help." He saw this dog, a 19-pound dog that he had just adopted, disappear over the ridge, and the guy runs down like 6 feet, sees the dog paddling in the cold water, and I think all of us as bystanders can say, well, why would he go in after it?
I think you would.
But in that moment,
it's kind of
instinctive.
Think about it.
But it's so incredibly dangerous. And thank goodness a passerby had seen the guy go in, called police, and an officer who works out of the city's 20th district quickly responded. Not only got the guy out, also got the dog out.
Wow.
So everybody's okay. So we'll be
showing
you.
Well, the dog was going to be fine from the beginning because that's what dogs do.
What do you mean?
Oh,
not
in that water. No, they freeze up and have trouble moving just like the rest of us.
Dumb dog.
And not all dogs swim. My last dog of 15 years, she just kind of sunk. Well, besides, if he just adopted this dog, he probably didn't know. Yeah.
Right, that's true.
But way to be supportive, Ro.
I'm just saying dogs.
Yeah.
I just want to say that dogs.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying leave them be. I would totally have done the exact same thing that guy did.
Mm-hmm.
I'd run over the ridge. You don't necessarily know, how tender the ice is there.
Now, you would have taken off your Gucci loafers, right? Because you don't want to ruin those before you go in.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, come on, Ben. I would not have. I would have left those in the car.
Okay.
Because
your driver.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. And then I would have put on my Gucci snow boots.
Yes.
I love dogs. I'm just saying the dogs are, far more
adept at handling.
Yeah, adept at handling situations than we are. They got 4 feet. That's
well, and we've seen it go the other way. I mean, if you think about some other situations where people have jumped in after their dogs, it has not always gone that well for both parties.
Exactly. So thankfully, this officer was there, was able to help him get out. So we've got that for you this afternoon. And then this story up in Libertyville, a guy was clearing snow from his driveway when a village truck went by a snowplow and hit him. Killed the guy. Our Sean Lewis is covering that story for us this afternoon. And this wasn't, from the video we're getting in, this was not a particularly busy street where you would think there'd be a snowplow, going by at 50 miles an hour, and this guy got just too close to the road. I mean, this is a very residential area, possibly even like a cul-de-sac of some sort. And it was just a village snowplow that was going by and hit the guy. And a terrible story up in Libertyville.
And there's a story. We're going to talk to Bob Baer, who was formerly with the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming up in just a few minutes. This story just now breaking, that Chicago and George Papadopoulos, sort of the first character to fall in the whole
Chicagoan,
Russia investigation.
Character is the perfect word, by the way, to describe him.
His contact, remember there was a professor,
This professor.
In the UK, the professor who was peddling dirt from the Russians about Hillary Clinton and the reason he met with this particular contact, may be dead, according to Bloomberg.
So the mysterious professor.
Mysterious professor.
Now
Joseph
dead.
Mifsud Maybe dead, Bloomberg, breaking with that news just in the last half hour.
Meanwhile, Papadopoulos is already free and running for Congress out in California.
All of it makes sense somehow. I don't know.
Right. Carpetbagger. Why wouldn't he run for Congress here? He could have run against Spanky the Clown or the Nazi that was running down in Beverly. You know, he could have done any of those things.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
We'll see you tonight at 4 o'clock.
Thank you.
Stay warm, everybody.
Let us now find out from Kim Gordon what is going on in the WGN newsroom. Concha with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Former CIA officer Bob Baer joins us right now. And Bob, there are so many things on the international plate that are so confusing. I think even to the I can just not imagine what is going on at the CIA or at the Department of State today as they try to figure out all these different fires that are going on. I want to get to Venezuela in a second, but Afghanistan, this news breaking this afternoon that there may have been a breakthrough between in negotiations between U.S. and Taliban negotiators in Afghanistan for a an end to the conflict there. That's how it's being portrayed. Can we have an end to the conflict in Afghanistan?
Oh, we could. I mean, Trump has made it very clear to his cabinet that he wants out. And he keeps on citing the figure, how much money we're spending there. It's amazing how much we're spending. I mean, he's right. And he's put the generals in the corner and said, look, what's the end game here? You know, I don't get it. Are we going to stay there forever and spend all this money? I mean, what is this Afghan army? I mean, they keep getting overrun. They can't fight back. And the Taliban is predominant in most of the country. And certainly by night it is. And he's looking at it from a businessman's perspective, is what do we get out of this place? And it's not much, and that's one of the reasons that Mattis left, the Secretary of Defense. And he's just furious at the generals. You know, and this is coming out, and he wants out. And he's told the current commander, he says, you know, I'll give you a year, you're the last commander there, and he seems to be following through.
Taliban says, the spokesman is saying, we won't agree to anything unless you have a full troop withdrawal. Is that possible in the near-term horizon?
It is possible. If they implemented some sort of ceasefire and gave us a decent interval to pull out, I think he would do it. I think he's perfectly capable of it. The entire national security establishment is opposed. And they're looking down the road, what happens if the Taliban lets back in al-Qaeda, and then there's an attack out of Afghanistan, all these contingencies. But look, the problem with Afghanistan, it's a quagmire and always was. We should have gone in there with the Taliban very quickly, set up a government and left. And every time they set up an international terrorist organization, go back or close the passes into Pakistan. So when you look at the president's complaints against the military, he's not all that wrong.
Right. That is and that's been an argument that's been made by people for, you know, remember, you know, Barack Obama at one point, you know, was talking about drew down in Iraq. They want to draw down Afghanistan. There has been a drawdown to some degree of our troops, you know, from its height in the mid 2000s. The question that, you know, I think that the folks at the Pentagon would always make this argument, or the commanders on the ground there in Afghanistan make the argument, the minute we walk away, that, you know, any kind of terrorist organization that wants to pay the toll to the Taliban, as did al-Qaeda, right? Because obviously that's where bin Laden has started, as Mujahideen there, is going to be able to operate with impunity there. And really, still the thing that pays the money there is the heroin trade, right? The opiate trade, the poppy trade.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is our allies on the ground, and the CIAs are the narcotics dealers, you know, the opium. And there, no one has a solution to get out of Afghanistan. I've heard there's talk about Title 50, let the CIA go in there and take over. That's not going to happen. We can't win that one. The problem you have to look at Afghanistan is we went to war against the Pashtun Confederation, which is almost 40 million people. And they're in Pakistan and they're in Afghanistan. And these people don't even know who bin Laden is, this current generation. They just think it's an occupying force, uneducated, don't understand recent history, and certainly don't understand this country. You know, this war was basically unwinnable. We could beat the Taliban in the field of battle, but the peace we could never win. And it's been a frustration of every president since.
Okay, now let's move on to Venezuela. Speaking of things that seem unwinnable, there people today, there's almost breathless reporting out of what's coming out of Venezuela, as food is not readily available, gasoline is not readily available. The inflation rate is said to be 2,000,000% year to year here, which I don't think that even works in terms of, but they just revalued their currency today. There is a crisis about who actually is it, Guaido, or is it the guy who was the president, Maduro? The election they had, Maduro says, well, everybody agrees was fixed, the Maduro won. Where does this go for the United States? This is all sort of entering our radar right now, Bob, and I don't think any of us really understand much about it.
Well, let me give you my worst fears right now. Is you have Maduro, who's clearly feeling the pressure and is paranoid in the first place. And we have diplomats in Caracas still at this point. We cannot calculate what this man will do. What would happen if he were to take those diplomats as hostage? Maybe kill them or kill one or two of them? We are going to be in a war in South America, one that's going to make Afghanistan look like almost a walk in the park.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's very true, because it's our hemisphere.
Yeah, you listen to Maduro, his public statements, and he sounds half crazy. I mean, he's paranoid. He's driven that country into the ground, he and Chavez, and we don't know where the military stands. Clearly, they haven't come out in the street. If you're going to do a coup in Venezuela, you have to count on some generals being out in the street with tanks, and so far, I haven't seen that. Right now, it seems to be under control, but as we turn off oil exports and effectively take over Citgo, who knows what he's going to do next? We simply don't know. We can't get inside his head or his inner circle. You know, could we be in a war by next week with Venezuela? Maybe. I don't know. It's a very unpredictable situation.
RT reported 30 minutes ago, Maduro rides amphibious tank, jogs along soldiers ahead of military drills. It appears he's trying to
show that he's still in charge of the military.
Might.
Yeah.
Well, he is, as far as we know. I mean, and not until that first general actually takes a division and takes over the radio station will we really know where the military's going. There are some ex-military officers based in Colombia who say, yes, we can turn this, but you can never trust those guys. This has been going on for a couple of years. You know, does the president want a war in Venezuela? One closer, one that's to be more quickly won? I don't know.
Could it be quickly won, though? I mean, win there? And the other piece for the United States to look at here too is how Russia and China are siding with Maduro. And we're the ones who are the outliers here by siding with what seems to be at least in keeping with the American stated virtuosity, which is, you know, free and fair elections and democracy and all those kinds of things, because Maduro doesn't stand for any of that. And obviously neither do the Russians or the Chinese. So, is democracy on the line here?
You know, who cares about democracy at this point? It wasn't a democratic election. And as for Russia and China, they would love to get us into another, you know, a jungle war, which would be effectively what would happen there. They'd love it.
Yeah.
And invading a South American country. The more the Chinese see us tied up in these dumb wars, the happier they are. It sort of defangs us. And then they can go do what they want in Africa or the Crimea or the rest of it. And again, I go back to the diplomats being there. That's what would really be the trigger if you took over the embassy and took them hostage, or there was a terrorist attack against the embassy that wasn't repulsed. Any number of things could be the trigger for a war.
Wow. All right, and before we let you go, Bob Baer, Roger Stone's. I'm not even going to go down the road. Let's just start with George Papadopoulos for a second here. George Papadopoulos, who was patient zero of the entire Russia investigation, right? He, the guy, that professor that he was working with in England.
Mifsud,
is now dead. And
of course he's dead.
We don't know the circumstances yet. Do you have a sense of what the circumstances are?
Well, I don't, but so many people around this story have been found dead. We just simply don't know. I mean, one of the reasons the Russians scare so many people is there's so many dead bodies. So much money and so many dead bodies. It may be smoke and mirrors, but, a key person like a witness dying scares a lot of people, in Russia particularly.
Yeah. All right, Bob, thank you very much.
Thanks,
always
Bob.
Appreciate your time.
A lot going on.
Yeah. I know it. I know it. Thank you, Bob. Well, hopefully, if we talk next week, hopefully it will not be as we're announcing a war. In time for February.
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir. As always, Bob Baer, one of the most decorated, the most publicly decorated CIA counterintelligence, counterterrorism agent. Officer, as they call themselves, in history. All right, let's. We have some breaking news here too on the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Michael Cohen has a new attorney.
Okay.
And you won't believe who it is. Coming up right after Kim Gordon tells us what's happening at the top of the hour. Gordon, you're going to be joining us for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up in just a few minutes. But I'm looking at a CNN pushed story here.
Yeah. Startling.
That says that Michael Cohen has just shaken up his legal team.
Mm-hmm.
He had Guy Petrillo, a criminal defense attorney, with strong ties to the Manhattan office, as well as the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, U.S. Attorney's Office, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, let me just read this paragraph here from CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Cohen, who's been subpoenaed to testify in mid-February by the Senate Intelligence Committee, will be represented by attorneys Michael Monaco.
That's familiar.
And Barry Spivak from the firm of Monaco and Spivak in Chicago. Or formerly Monaco Spivak, now Monaco and I don't even know. You're our attorney, and now you're Michael Cohen's attorney.
What's going to happen now?
What is going on?
It's just going to limit how much I can talk to you about Mr. Cohen.
Oh, Mike.
But does he know?
We're your favorite, though.
You are my favorite, and as Roe has said in the past, no case too big or too small.
This one's pretty big.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. May I just ask, is this to represent him? Obviously, he's been sentenced already, right?
Right.
And so this is just about as he gets ready for his congressional testimony?
Yes.
Okay.
And also to continue helping him in the Southern District and with the special prosecutor and with the Attorney General of New York.
Oh, yeah, because there are all those other cases as well, right?
A lot of stuff going on.
Wow.
I had a very busy weekend.
I bet.
Wow.
Is Lanny Davis still going to represent him?
Lanny is also helping. Yes, he is.
Okay. I like how lawyers do that, helping, because they don't want to talk about how their fees are getting cut up. That's exactly why they do it like that. So will this require you to be in New York a lot for him, I imagine?
Yeah, and guess what? There are no flights to New York on Wednesday.
Huh.
New York is like it's only going to be, as you well know, the coldest day of the year ever in the history of
in the history of the world.
Yes. In the history of this part of North America, it's probably going to break all the records for lowest daytime high.
And the airports are following up on that by canceling all the flights. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, we got. I mean, what are you going to do? You want to fly in this?
I'll be taking the Greyhound bus to New York.
I'd like to see that.
All right. Yeah. Michael, we'll be talking to you about this.
Thank you, sir.
I hope so,
Appreciate it.
I'm not sure he's going to be able
always,
to.
Always for you, Anna.
Thank you. Mike.
Goodbye, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Good luck with the case.
I don't know what to do with that.
I know. We like to have him as our contact on these things.
Yes.
To have him so intricately involved.
I want to talk about your oral health, though, right now,
okay.
If I could just do that. The fact is that Quip is your answer for oral health. Is it not? Is it? It is. Because we're not perfect with your brush. Quip makes you perfect. Quip has a built-in timer system that allows you to figure out where you are in your mouth. Right? I go top left, bottom left, top right, bottom right. And then every 30 seconds it gives you a pulse to move. You're in your quadrant. It's such a great toothbrush. It's so comfortable. It's so affordable, and you don't have to plug it in. It's self-contained. It has its motor and its battery and everything inside. And then every 3 months you get a brush head that you change, and then they send you a battery along with it, and you change that out. Never do you ever lose the power. It is so great. Go to getquip.com/row. That's GETQUIP.com/row. Get your first refill on me. Getquip.com/row.
The numbers are in.
WGN Plus is where Chicago comes for podcasts.
Here's what's happening now on WGN Plus. People these days absolutely love nostalgia, and BET is tapping into Soul Train in their new series, American Soul. And Shypedia has some thoughts about that. Guth and Hupke are issuing a challenge to dudes, all dudes. And the Mincing Rascals discuss who won the Trump-Pelosi State of the Union showdown. Look them up. WGN Plus on iTunes and Google Play.
A smile is a sign of hope. At Eon Clinics, they know how much a smile can impact your outlook on life.
Eon Clinics gave me the smile I've always wanted, and now I'm constantly getting compliments. Talk about a great boost. I simply can't stop smiling.
Eon Clinics dental implants can restore your sense of self. Start a new chapter in life with a stunning set of teeth. Their family-owned clinics and exceptional doctors will restore your oral health and lift your spirit.
It was an incredible experience. I felt like I had a priceless work of art in my mouth when I left the office. To people on the fence, I say do it. It'll be the best decision you've made.
Invest in yourself. Allow Eon Clinics to help you achieve an inspirational smile. Call 844-432-SMILE. That's 844-432-SMILE, or visit eonclinics.com.
Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. AppleChevy.com brings you Kim Gordon's news.
Light snow, fog, mist, 22 at O'Hare. The next 3 days will be brutally cold, but WGN's Tom Skilling says there is light at the end of the tunnel if you can withstand the wind chills Tuesday through Thursday.
50 to 55 below zero Wednesday morning, go up to 35 to 40 below. And then we're going to change jet streams, blow Pacific air in here, and temperatures will rebound more than 40 degrees by this coming weekend.
He says the coldest daytime high in Chicago is 11 below zero. We could get very close to that on Wednesday. Mayor Emanuel says the city will implement extreme weather plans, including deploying warming buses and adding shelter beds to accommodate those in need.
And if somebody elderly in the neighborhood, please check on them if they need anything. And if it's beyond what you can do, 311, or if it's more serious, 911.
And residents who need those warming centers or don't have sufficient heat are encouraged to contact 311 for immediate assistance. The closures are already starting for Wednesday and Thursday. The Brookfield Zoo and Adler Planetarium will be closed. Chicago Public Schools plans to make an announcement tomorrow. You can see all of the closings across the area on our emergency closing list at WGNradio.com. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has declared a state of emergency because of snow and impending cold. He's also activating the Wisconsin National Guard to help with local emergency responders if necessary. The U.S. announcing severe economic sanctions against Venezuela in response to ousted President Nicolas Maduro's refusal to relinquish his position and recognize new President Juan Guaido. A U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says if the Venezuelan military violently retaliates, there will be swift and severe consequences.
The United States will hold Venezuelan security forces responsible for the safety of all U.S. diplomatic personnel, the National Assembly, and President Guaido. Any violence against these groups would signify a grave assault on the rule of law and will be met with a significant response.
National Security Advisor John Bolton also put out a global request calling on all responsible nations to recognize President Guaido immediately. You can start filing both your state and federal taxes today. Illinois Department of Revenue spokesperson Terry Hortzman says they urge you to file electronically.
The Department of Revenue is reminding taxpayers that filing tax returns electronically and requesting direct deposit into a checking or savings account is still the fastest, most secure way to receive a refund.
New this year, taxpayers who receive an ID verification letter may authenticate their identity online instead of the regular mail. And now with WGN Community Corners, here's Ryan Burrow.
Did you know legendary Notre Dame football coach Knute Rockne grew up on Chicago's northwest side? The college football legend was born in Norway, but his family immigrated to Chicago's Logan Square neighborhood. He attended Northwest Division High School. The home he grew up in still stands in the 2500 block of North Rockwell. In fact, it's listed for sale. I'm Ryan Burrow with Community Corners on WGN Radio.
And now WGN Sports, here's Kevin Powell.
Thank you, Kim. A couple roster moves from the Bears over the past few days. They've officially signed kicker Redford Jones. He'll compete with Cody Parkey. They also agreed on a four-year extension with right tackle Bobby Massey, ensuring the entire starting offense will return next season. On the defensive side of the ball, safety Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan are free agents. We'll see if they can strike a deal with one or both of them. Yesterday in Orlando, seven Bears participating in the Pro Bowl, including Akeem Hicks.
As far as meaning for me, this is one of the biggest accolades that I've ever achieved. Being recognized as one of the most elite players at my position in the league and, owning it. It's awesome.
In Atlanta, the Patriots and Rams have arrived for Super Bowl 53. New England enters the big game as three-point favorites. College hoops tonight, second-ranked Duke visiting Notre Dame. Number 16, Texas Tech takes on TCU. Pelican star Anthony Davis has informed the team he wants a trade out of New Orleans, so maybe the Bulls will be in on talks for the Chicago native and five-time All-Star. Bulls play tomorrow in Brooklyn. Blackhawks bye continues until Friday. On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats and White Sox baseball, Kevin Powell, WGN Sports.
Your money, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Chicago, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You say goodbye to somebody.
Okay, bye.
But then, unfortunately, you both walk in the same direction. Oh. You couldn't save yourself from the thick stew of awkward this situation delivers. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your choice of walking direction has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and emergency roadside service.
So, weather.
Ah, and now you're resorting to local weather talk. Speaking of, your local Geico agent could help you save even more.
Ooh.
Like with federal and military discounts.
You couldn't save yourself from a goodbye, oh, hello situation, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
I'm always getting asked what the best cleaners are for stone countertops. Now, whether you have granite, quartz, or any stone, Granite Gold has what you need to easily keep your counters looking better than any other cleaner. Granite Gold's products were created from three generations of stone care experts who have a passion for stone and how to keep it looking great. Their products are safe on food prep surfaces, non-toxic, non-acidic, and biodegradable. To learn more about Granite Gold and where to buy, visit GraniteGold.com. Granite Gold stone care products from the stone care experts.
With this cold weather, what's better than gathering your family around a warm fire? Get your chimney cleaned and safety inspected by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Mention WGN for $100 off. Go to cleanfireplace.com.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
Your money on WGN. The Dow closed down 208 points today. NASDAQ down 79. The S&P 500 down 20. WGN traffic, Jen DeSalvo.
Well, Kim, we're seeing more and more accidents on the area roadway. So let's head up to Island Lake and take a look at one at 176 in Roberts Road. Also in Grays Lake, Route 83 southbound at Peterson Road. And then on the Edens inbound at Lake Avenue, a vehicle is off in the ditch. The right shoulder is blocked. Other than that, the Edens is looking good each direction. The Kennedy out to O'Hare, not bad at all, but inbound 23 from O'Hare into downtown. The Eisenhower outbound slow, Austin to 1st. It's 19 to Mannheim, 32 out to 390. The inbound side, 36 from 390 into the old post office. It's going to take 21 in from Mannheim. The Stevenson, 26 to the Tri-State, 51 out to 355. Over on the inbound side, 43 from 355 into Lakeshore Drive. It's going to be 28 in from the Tri-State. Dan Ryan, 22 out to 95th. The inbound side, 24 from 95th into the circle. Had some slow spots on the Bishop Ford before, but they're looking pretty good. Each way between Hollywood and Monroe on Lakeshore Drive is going to take 17 minutes at this point. Traffic sponsored by I Am the Night on TNT. TNT's new series, I Am the Night, stars Chris Pine. Inspired by a true story, the series follows Fauna Hodel's search for her identity and the sinister trail that leads her to connection to Hollywood's infamous Black Dahlia murder. Starring Chris Pine, don't miss the premiere of I Am the Night at 8 tonight on TNT. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Jen DeSalvo on WGN Traffic Central.
The WGN forecast, here's meteorologist Tom Skilling.
Dangerous and historic cold is headed for the Chicago area. We expect 72 hours of sub-zero wind chills and 48 consecutive hours of sub-zero temperatures. These commence early tomorrow night and run through the day Thursday, but even by morning, we'll have wind chills down around 15 to 20 below, and there's been a wind chill advisory issued for that. The wind chill warning kicks in tomorrow night and runs all the way through midday Thursday. There'll be wind with this as well. Tonight, a wind chill advisory 4 to 6 a.m. and then wind chill warning 6 p.m. Tuesday through noon Thursday. A period of light snow is going through this evening, a dusting to an inch with that. Then partly cloudy, blustery, and colder. Wind chills by morning 15 to 20 below. Air temperature down to 3 below. Tuesday, mixed sun and clouds, strengthening winds, and very cold. Gusts will build to 40 miles per hour in the afternoon and evening. That'll start producing drifting in open areas. High 6 above tomorrow, settling to around zero by nightfall. Then Tuesday night through Wednesday, dangerously cold, scattered clouds and windy, a record-breaking low of 23 below Tuesday night, high Wednesday 13 below, wind chills drop to 50 to 55 below by daybreak Wednesday, and rise during the day Wednesday only to 30 to 40 below in the afternoon. Thursday remains bitterly cold, but with winds easing slowly, we could start at 25 below zero. Then see temperatures get up to 4 below with chills 35 to 40 below early, 5 to 10 and below in the afternoon. High temperature 4 below Thursday, and Friday clouds over, snow later in the day, high 19. I'm Tom Skilling in the WGN Weather Center.
Right now, O'Hare 19, Midway 22, Gary 23. The wind's blowing from the west to 17 miles an hour. The barometer's rising. Along the lakefront, 21, the wind chill 4. I'm Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right.
Yes.
I'm still reeling. I don't know what is scarier to me.
Mm-hmm.
That we're about to go into the deepest of freezes, perhaps in our lifetimes. Or that our own attorney, Mike Monaco, has just been signed by Michael Cohen to be his attorney. I don't know which thing scares me more, Tom Skilling, but I know that one of them does.
it's an upside-down world, isn't it, Ro?
It is. And you're being brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems, and my gosh, they're going to be busy over the next couple of weeks.
They are.
We are going to have, in terms of hours under below zero.
Yes. 48 hours below zero, 78 hours below zero on the wind chill. Now, that's not a record. We had 100 hours back over the Christmas holiday in 1983, and that's the record for the most number of hours below zero. But what is true is we're bumping up against the all-time lows of 27 below Jan 20th. We were talking about that the other day, Jan 20th, 85. And the records that we're going to break tomorrow night, Wednesday and Wednesday night, date back to 1966, some of them. So the way to put it is this is the coldest air mass in at least a half a century. And in terms of severity, it could be the coldest air mass, or certainly among them, that we've ever seen here in this city. I can remember there have only been three other occasions where we've been this cold. And there'll be many people, younger people, that don't remember those cold spells we had back in 82 and 85. And all kinds of interesting things happen in this kind of air mass. Things begin to crack, buildings creak and all outside, cars won't start. And you get all kinds of optical phenomena, like halos around the sun in sunrise and sunset, and so-called sun dogs. And you get these light pillars that emanate from light sources in the colder hours of the day, because these air masses, when they come in, have suspended ice crystals in them, and that refracts the sunlight, so there's kind of a hazy look to the sun. So this
will it'll be clear, right? Doesn't it have to be, by its nature, be kind of clear?
There'll be some scattered clouds, but they'll be ill-defined because in these Arctic air masses, any moisture just goes over to, little ice crystals and all. You don't hold much moisture in an air mass like this. And so it'll be essentially clear. But what's amazing, too, is this is going to come in with wind. You know, when you see these incredible temperatures up in the Arctic regions, often it's because there's a calm breeze and you're in a valley and the cold air settles in the valley. We're going to have a 40-mile-per-hour wind gust at times tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night. That's going to blow and drift the snow in the open areas. And Wednesday will be a day like few that we've ever seen in the city. I've been in this business 50 years, and I have never seen the temperature go from the 34 that we've had today down to 23 below, and then it's going to go back up to 44 by Sunday and rain. So, amazing.
It is amazing. I saw that. Yeah. I saw that in your forecast, and I'm like, no, hell
it didn't seem right.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. And yet, when you walked out today compared to the weekend, it felt really warm.
It was nice. We had this snow system come in, and the south winds on its front side kind of brought up a puff of warmer air. Those temps are going to drop tonight. It'll be pretty darn cold by morning, but the real bulk of the cold wave comes in tomorrow night. And in fact, we'll go down tonight to 3 below, back up to 6 above tomorrow by evening. By this time tomorrow night, we ought to be in low single digits around zero. And then it's downhill from there, down to 23 below by Wednesday morning with a wind chill of 55 below. Back in the previous cold air masses, we had a different wind chill calculation. It was less conservative than the one we've got now. So, like what that morning, it hit 27 below here. The wind chill was 93 below zero using the old wind chill index. Today, that would be much, it'd be something under 60 below, I believe.
So, this will be akin to that.
Yes.
And really, at that point, does it really matter if it's 60 or 55 below? I don't think so.
No, it doesn't. You don't like to forecast records in the weather profession unless you're absolutely sure. So I kept my lowest temperature at 25 below. But frankly, an average of all the models gets us down by Thursday morning to about 27 below, which would tie the all-time coldest temperature.
But the real issue there is the lowest daytime high.
Yeah. And the lowest daytime high in Chicago has been 11 below. We're predicting a low or a high temperature Wednesday of only 13 below on the thermometer. So if that verifies, we'll establish a new record for the coldest daytime high in Chicago. So this, when we say this is a historic outbreak of cold air, that's what we're talking about. Three records at least. perhaps the coldest daytime high that we've recorded, and one of the coldest nighttime temperatures we've ever recorded here in Chicago. Yeah. And we have weather records that go back to 1871.
How about that?
So you're talking about a chunk of time here.
You know, I know Chicago Public Schools is saying they will notify parents by noon tomorrow about their calls about
this. Is a no-brainer.
It does seem like it, doesn't it? You think about skin exposure with these types of temperatures.
It's an absolute no-brainer. And this, the level of certainty in this day and age with the kind of modeling that's done is... makes, you know, this isn't like a 120-mile wide heavy snow band that can set up 50 or 60 miles either side of what you're thinking.
Right.
This is a mammoth blob of cold air that is 1,000 miles across. And
this is a metaphysical certitude, is what you're basically saying.
Yeah. I you know, will it be 23 below or 25 below? Does it matter these levels in terms
dangerous.
Of safety? Yeah. I mean, this is... people are going to have to get children covered and all with daycare and what all the rest. And there's just no uncertainty about this at this point. So this is going to be bad.
And skin exposure in those types of temperatures. Remind us about that, Tom.
You know, I don't have the exact timing on it, but it's minutes that you'd freeze in this kind of thing. So this is, you know, as I say, you get these kinds of temperatures up in the Arctic, but often it's in a quiet air mass with little air movement. When you start adding a 40 mile per hour wind gust situation to it, then you have some trouble. And with all this fresh fallen snow, this stuff's going to, blow around in the open areas. So if you're out in the country, this westerly wind means your north-south roads in particular are going to be troublesome as we get to tomorrow afternoon and night and into Wednesday. So it's pretty amazing. You know, as a meteorologist, you stand back and look at this and say, wow, this is something. Do you know the first clue this was going to happen? They're looking at something they call stratospheric warming. And it turns out if you go up to the 10 millibar, that's way up. You know, tens of thousands of feet above it's above the jet stream that we normally look at here. Mm-hmm. The temperature in the North Pole rose 50 degrees in a day, and that the sudden warming like that has been shown to be followed about 2 weeks later by a very wavy jet stream and a mass of cold air.
And what causes that?
And the polar, there's a lot of... The mechanism for that's not totally understood. There's some indication that maybe the loss of ice in the Arctic, some would argue that might have something to do with it. But what happens is the polar vortex breaks into two blobs. And so there's one in eastern Siberia, and there's this one that's coming down in our area. And it's really quite interesting. I've got to hand it. There was an MIT scientist who caught this happening. And, you know, this is an infrequent enough occurrence and not something that we in operational meteorology have been able to look at in the days before modeling and all. So you don't have much of a track record as a forecaster on this. But he came out back in late December. He mistimed it because he thought this would come in late December, early January. Well, it's waited till now to come in, but come in it has or will, you know. And it's a rather dramatic piece of meteor. And what's amazing is we are literally in the coldest spot on Earth relative to our normals.
Yeah.
It's unseasonably warm out to the west of on either side of this air mass and over the bulk of the planet, except for eastern Siberia. So this is really a rather small-scale feature when you look at it in terms of a global situation.
I want to ask you. I'm trying not to.
Anna, did I sense a period of speechlessness?
You did it. That's mark like, this day down.
That's like getting me to be speechless. You know,
yeah.
I tell you.
Do you remember, or Snyder might know the answer to this? What was the daytime high? What's the biggest daytime high of the last summer? Is 90 something
daytime? Bill. What was our highest temperature this past summer? Do you remember?
Past summer, I know we actually got up. We had a high of approaching triple digits back at the end of May. We
yeah.
97, 98 in May, and I think okay. we might have...
Yeah, 97, 98
all right,
back
let's call,
in
let's
May.
Call it, let's call it... Let's be conservative. Let's call it 97.
Yeah.
And now we are going to have an air temperature...
Of 23 below.
23 below. So we will have a 120-degree range...
Isn't it marvelous?
...within a year. Now, I want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could just put a... a chair out on your front desk and sit there for a year and marvel at the range of temperatures that we've got here. And keep a little thermometer there.
Is that
we call that Rose Deck.
Yeah.
Sit on Rose Deck.
Right. And Architect, just, by the way, very proud to bring you something here.
Right.
The weather
there we
watching
go.
Let me
ask you this. Mm-hmm. You get a 120 degree differential.
Yes.
Is there what other places on the planet have 120 degree differential?
We've looked at that. You know where they have huge differentials is, and rapid changes at that, are to the lee of the Rockies, where the air downslopes, and also the Black Hills. Rapid City and areas like that have had extraordinary temperature changes, as have the Colorado, the front slopes of the Colorado Rockies.
On flat land.
Yeah.
I'm asking you for flat land.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's going to be even more dramatic in Wisconsin, I'm assuming,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, how cold is it going to be getting up there, do we know?
We're going to be as cold as anybody. This air mass is draped, and when you look at the 50 and 60 below zero wind chills Wednesday morning, they're draped all the way from International Falls in northern Minnesota, across Minnesota into Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois. So a lot of folks are going to be awfully miserable in this cold air mass. And there's a uniformity to an air mass like this when you bring the core of the cold air right down over us. We look at a parameter known as thickness. We look at the spread in the atmosphere between pressures at the surface and 500 millibars. Mm-hmm. And when the atmosphere gets cold, it compresses. And we've got thickness values of 480 decameters. That's like the January 82 and the January 85 thicknesses. That kind of air mass,
the air pressure is high, right? That's the thing. It's like we
yes.
worry about low pressure in
right.
in rainstorms or like hurricanes. So we talk about the low pressure.
Yeah, but this is a 1040 millibar high that's coming down. So let's see that's
a big high pressure system.
That's pretty respectable. We've been higher. That's 30.71 inches of mercury on the standard home barometer.
Gee.
So it's a pretty.
That's like, another inch over what the normal would, like what average would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, right? The average is around 29.92.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get up to 30.71, that's a respectable air mass. But our highest pressure here has gone up just over 31 inches. So we've been higher than that before.
Is it in the winter, or can we do that in the summer?
No, it's got to be in the winter. You got to have a dense, heavy, cold air mass.
Yeah.
The highest pressures on Earth have been in cold regions because that's where the air mass is cold, very dense when it's cold.
In terms of how long this is sticking around, you said 48 hours of sub-zero temperatures, 72 hours of sub-zero wind chills. Is that fairly, it seems like a long time to hang on.
Well, 100 hours is the longest we've been below zero here. And that, again, occurred back in 83. But yeah, that's a healthy stretch for our area. And so, no doubt about it, Anna. That's a long period.
It's not moving through quickly, so
no.
Get ready for it.
Right, that was January of 83, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. Jan of 83. So it was actually 82, 83.
Yeah.
The season.
Right. I remember that being a really cold because we were coming off of those crazy winters.
Right.
And then we had kind of a nice winter. Not that I catalog all this in my head, but I do.
I know.
And then 82, 83, I remember just being like super, super, super cold. Like scary cold. Like
you know,
this is.
It's interesting, Ro. You are absolutely right. And we looked decadally at all the winters in Chicago. The winters of the 1970s were the worst winters collectively we've ever had.
Over a decade.
Even back to 1870. There's been nothing quite like those winters. And so, we remember that. And then it warmed up dramatically as you went into the 90s and early 2000s. Our
right.
winters have seemed less severe. And that's why we're... You know, we're comparing them to the worst winters of our own experience.
We had a couple of 70s. Right, we had a couple of no-winter winters, actually. I think in 86, 87, and some there were some, or 87, 88, there were some that didn't even show up. And now, that's not this year!
No.
That is not this year!
But you know what? But remember one thing, Ro. We came into this thing above normal.
Yeah.
If you look at a plot of the temperatures over the last year here in Chicago, this is a little blip, this thing coming in, as barbaric as it's going to be. It's not like we've been cold, you know, from November through present. So.
I know, and it's going to screw up our numbers, too. We're just having when you do the average out, and the average is 27 below, it's going to screw up what was already an above-normal temperature for the... So, you know, but let me say...
44 on Sunday, and then next week, was it going to be?
Well, next week we settled down into the 20s, the mid or upper 20s. Yeah. And, you know, we thought that all along. It's quite interesting.
Right. I just want to know. You know what?
This will give you an idea, Ro. Wednesday will average about 43 degrees below normal. Next Wednesday will be 1.9 degrees or 2 degrees below normal.
Okay.
So one, you know, in a week's time, the average temperature, according to the latest model runs, will be nearly 40 degrees warmer.
Okay.
But still moderately cold, you know. Okay. Seasonably so.
Thank you.
Havana. See, you can see Havana. I only hear the audio.
He's not doing well, Tom.
No, this does not sound good.
He's not doing well.
I know.
Gotta go. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
See you guys. Stay warm, everybody. Seriously. And look in on the elderly.
Absolutely.
And
bring the pets in. Do not mess around.
Absolutely. Bye. Yep.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right,
yes.
I want to think other things other than the cold, if I can for a moment.
Warm thoughts?
Yeah. And there are two things that I think we need to discuss here with our own Kevin Powell and Adam Hoge, who is our Bears insider and our baseball super analyst. Or something like that. I don't know, whatever we call it. Or he's our Bears insider and our White Sox what? Would you say?
I like super analyst.
Super analyst, yes.
Yeah,
White Sox super analyst. First of all, I want to stay with the Bears.
Sure.
Bears have brought another kicker into camp.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
I don't think it means a whole lot. I mean, this is what they call a reserve future contract, which is basically just stockpiling a bunch of guys who are already free agents because they didn't really play much this year. They're either on practice squads or never even got a job. And remember, the rosters expand to 90. They go from 53 to 90. So you're looking for guys. And Redford Jones is his name.
Redford Jones. Great name.
Kicked at Tulsa. And as you guys, I know, covered on Friday, has his own history of double doinks. However, they go in.
Success.
So we're making progress here, guys. We're making progress.
No, one went in. I don't know. I don't want to rely on the double doink going in.
Right.
It was just amazing that, like, 10 minutes after the news came, somebody found a video of him double doinking in college. It was just crazy.
Was unbelievable. I still think they're going to make a run at Robbie Gould. And if they make a run at Robbie Gould, then the kicker thing is done. And I don't even know if this is competition with Cody Parkey, because I don't think Cody Parkey is going to be here regardless.
Mm-hmm. And Tulsa, there's actually a guy in one of the Power Five conferences that I think they were looking at too, right? I mean, there's kind of a and I'm sorry for launching off into this without knowing the guy's name or even his school, but I do recall that there is a kicker that is supposed to be a draft-worthy kicker, because as anybody who plays fantasy knows, you draft the kickers last. Mm-hmm. But this is a significant player in terms of his efficiency. Now, you know, the kicking game has changed. When the NFL made that rule change to move the point after.
Yeah.
Changed a lot of things.
Back
challenge.
You know, make it a 27-yard attempt. That's changed a lot of things.
You know, I laugh because a lot of teams don't like paying kickers a lot of money, and we're talking, you know, $3 to $4 million is where the best kickers what they make and what the Bears are going to have to eat next year if they let Cody Parkey go. And I'm like, look, it is such an important position, and you saw it unfold this year. The Bears had an outstanding team, but they had a weakness at kicker. It's the same thing at the college level. There are schools that will not give kickers scholarships. They roll with walk-ons. Alabama's had that problem. Alabama's had the one weakness all these years is kicker, because they don't really...
It is unbelievable. I mean, all you have to do, when you think, just stop and think that the Bears, first of all, would have gone, at least won one more game.
Right.
Right?
Put him in position to win, go even further.
Right.
They would have had a first-round bye if he makes the kick in Miami. Mm-hmm.
Right. So basically, he cost us the playoff twice. twice he cost us.
Yep.
And look at what having a great kicker does for you. Look what having Greg Zuerlein on your roster does for you if you're the Rams. Look at all those huge kicks he made in the NFC Championship game. Adam, I know you always do a deep dive in a draft analyst and you preview all that. I don't know if you've gone that far ahead, but what does the draft look like for kickers this year?
Yeah, just to be fully honest, I don't know yet. I haven't gotten that far. But it'll be something that's on the table. Just remember, the free agency's in March. The draft isn't until April. So obviously, if they sign Robbie Gould or anybody of that nature, they're not going to draft.
Yeah. And then the Bears re-up Bobby Massey, the right tackle, a four-year extension. That ensures the entire starting offense will be back next season, Adam. On the defensive side of the ball, they've got some questions with Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos. I think Callahan should be priority number one. That nickelback spot is so important in today's NFL with the way offenses are ran. Your thoughts on what's going to happen with Amos and Callahan this offseason?
Yeah, the problem with Callahan is he still hasn't played a full season yet. And so he's really good, but he hasn't been able to stack together a whole year, and that matters when you get to the contract table. And I think Adrian Amos deserves more credit than he gets. He's kind of like Bobby Massey. He's not an all-pro by any means. He's not as good as Eddie Jackson, but he gets the job done. And this is what I keep telling Bears fans. You know, the job that Ryan Pace has done so far is great, but this is when the real work starts, because you need to figure out how to maintain success under the salary cap. And when you got Khalil Mack's contract already on the books, and you're going to have to pay Mitchell Trubisky in a couple of years, you're going to have to pay Eddie Jackson, you're going to have to pay Tariq Cohen. When you have a guy as good as Bobby Massey, I know a lot of Bears fans, I've heard from him all week, and why did he sign Bobby Massey? Because he's good enough. You don't want to create an extra problem by letting him go. He's worthy of being a starter in the NFL, and so you lock him up on the cheap so you don't have to worry about another position.
You're in Atlanta right now.
I am.
As you're getting ready, you're in the media center for Super Bowl EEE.
Mm-hmm.
And there is going to be Media Day is when?
The official media day? Tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight, yes. Mm-hmm.
So when do the players get there?
They all flew in yesterday. Both teams are here, and there's a huge media night that has turned into an event. It's on TV now, where all the players and coaches are available tonight. And then practices, I believe, get underway tomorrow.
And they let you in like the first one, right? They're stretching, and Tom Brady is flexing and eating a peanut or whatever.
But not a peanut, not strawberries.
He might be allergic to it. He eats a walnut or a, you know, something.
They're actually all closed except for a couple pool reporters get to watch all of practice just to make sure the Patriots aren't cheating.
I was going to say, the Patriots watch everybody's practice with their secret cameras.
Right, that's true.
Because that's why they win.
And doesn't Tony Romo have to watch the practices so he knows exactly what calls to play?
He has his crystal ball he brings with him to the announcer booth.
Did you guys see that Onion story the other day that was like Tony Romo forgets that he should have used his psychic ability when he was actually a player.
Could have helped in a couple of really key lines. Scenarios. Really could have helped.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing, and I want to go back to this, because this has really sort of become the story, right? That he's going to be calling the Super Bowl, isn't he?
Yeah. And I can't wait. I think it's great.
He calls the play before it happens, and he was like uncanny in the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, some of it, I guess, you know, for anybody who is really proficient in football, you know, broadcasters or coaches, former players, coaches, there's certain things that they would see, but they wouldn't necessarily say this is exactly what's going to happen. But he wanted to double down and triple down on that stuff, and it was both really exciting, but it's also like when you're talking to somebody, like you're watching a TV show or a movie, and something's about to happen,
and
the person
tells
next to
you,
there's a guy behind that door.
This is when they pop out of the closet.
And you don't really want to know in some ways, right? You kind of want to let it develop. Romostradamus, they call him. Tony Romostradamus.
I've enjoyed it because you're almost in awe of it, right?
Well, and I think in the Chiefs game, you know, Bob Sutton, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, ended up getting fired 3 days after the game. And it's just a bad look. You got the TV analysts upstairs calling out what's happening, and they're still on one-on-one coverage against Gronk on the outside. It's like everybody's screaming in their TV, how are you leaving him wide open? And yet the defense coordinator couldn't figure it out, and Tony Romo was all over it. So, and then that guy got fired. So,
Ouch.
You know, it's weird. I mean, it's
I will be interesting to watch, right? Because he will be calling these things out, and we'll just have to get used to the new thing. And now everybody's so when one guy does it, now that you got Tony Romo doing it, you're going to have to find, like, all of a sudden the pressure's on Chris Collinsworth to call every play now. Because and Chris kind of does it a little bit now. You know, he goes, hey, look for this, watch for that. I think Chris Collinsworth is the, you know.
I think Alan Chris, the NBC Sunday night call, I think is maybe the best in all sports, period, the broadcast.
But definitely the best in football.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be increased. Now they have to put the lawyer in the booth with them, right, to talk about it.
You have like a team of former officials and referees,
right, that are there to lawyer up the game for you. And now
who are all more qualified than the guys who are actually on the field,
right? Exactly,
and make the right call as opposed to those guys.
But they're making 10 times the amount of money sitting up there than they were before. And then you got to have a person who's you know, going to be predicting everything. Sybil the soothsayer is going to be up there. I see right now a dump off pass in the flat after, and you're like, let's just, I don't know what to do with
Maybe
it.
Maybe we should ask Tony Romo who the new Bears kicker is going to be, because he already knows these things.
Might have a lead on it.
Yeah. He should.
Be nice.
Well,
didn't
Bryce Harper tweet at him, be like, hey, Tony, can you tell me where I'm going to play this year?
And all the players are turning to him.
Yeah. It is sort of funny. I think he's great. I really, as a player, it's funny how Cowboys fans, he's very divisive, right? Uh-huh. He's almost the Jay Cutler.
Look, he's got like every
Cowboys
record in Cowboys history.
So does Jay Cutler.
Right. But he never won in the playoffs, so there's that. So animosity for from that
Jay
angle.
Cutler.
Neither did Jay Cutler. So it's, you know, if you look at his body of work, he had a really, really good career, but I don't think Cowboys fans remember him that way.
But remember, he also had an almost Cody Parkey-esque moment.
Yeah,
remember?
He did.
Yep.
Where he flubbed the hold on a kick, and that was so, you know, I mean, what you got right here is you got a guy who's going to have a long and storied career in broadcasting. I think Tony Romo is going to be one of those guys going to be 20 years from now still in the booth.
Well, he had the analysis from the first day, but it was also obvious that he had no experience with a microphone in front of his face.
A lot
really.
Of oohing and aahing. Ooh, look at that, Jim.
So yeah, so he's still getting better from that standpoint.
Yeah.
But the analysis is great.
Mm. It is great. Yeah. And I think it was Kate Perrow said to me, he goes, he's with Jim Nance. What could go wrong? Yeah. Right? I mean, Jim
it's a
Nance,
nice little security blanket if things go wrong.
Yeah, Jim Nance is one of those guys who's like, he is human ketamine is what he is. He like you. Like you watch golf or football or whatever it is, and you go into a trance, right? And you disassociate from your own body, and you're just like, I'm in somewhere else, because he's got that ability.
Especially the Masters. He just locks you in for a whole weekend, and it's like peaceful.
With no commercials. You got to think about how tough that job is. Those guys have. The best ones, Al Michaels is another one, but you know, Nance, because he can do football and golf so well. He does everything, actually.
College hoops does very
college
well.
Hoops.
He did, I think, Nance, I remember Nance doing like water polo or something at one point.
Oh, geez. And it was probably awesome.
No, when CBS had the Olympics, remember?
They did the Olympics,
He did the Winter Olympics, but he was like doing luge or something, and you're like, wow, how does he do that? All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, real quick, because I know the weather is the big story in Chicago. It might snow an inch here in Atlanta, and the whole city is shutting down.
Yeah.
Schools are closed. The government offices are closed because they don't know how to handle it down here. But
they don't
just
have
laughing.
Any equipment for it.
Yeah, that's I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they all go out with Morton salt, and they...
good luck out there, Adam.
Yeah.
Brave your way through this week.
Yeah, good luck is right.
Are we checking in with Adam on Wednesday? Because it's going to be really cold here. Just don't rub in anything to do with the weather, please.
I promise I won't. I promise.
And you can hear Hogue on the stream every day at 1 o'clock.
1 to 2 o'clock every day. I got some great stuff lined up tomorrow, so... It's going to be a fun week. It already was. We had some good stuff today with Ross Tucker and a couple other analysts. Right. And so plenty of Bears content on there as well.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Bears insider and super celebrity White Sox reporter. I'm going to work on that.
Super analyst.
I'm going to work on it. Super analyst.
Host,
right. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. All right. Let's now check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the top of the hour? Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh.
You thinking about the cold weather that's heading our way and how today's not at all cold compared to what it's going to be like?
No. But people are freaked, man.
But at least you can put together your new winter gear, your extreme winter gear.
His Arctic blast gear.
You can put that to use finally.
Yes. I have actually put it to use. And it is fun to be able to go out like a spaceman out into the environment. I'm like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the thing, and I'm just kind of walking around.
And you don't feel anything this weekend?
Uh-uh.
Nothing.
I was completely... this weekend wasn't crazy bad. I mean,
I thought if you were in the wind at times, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, but it's not what's coming.
Yes.
Now, what I'm going to do, I will do this, and I'll put this on the videography. And I'll put it up on the Insta platter. Mm-hmm. What is it called? The thing?
Yeah, the grammar. Instagrammer.
Yeah. I'll put this up this week of me in my full Arctic. I did a little Arctic practice on Saturday.
Yeah.
With this, I was in the full Arctic kind of a deal, and I ended up actually at dinner with I can say it, I guess.
You can.
It's all right. Okay. So Mike Flannery put together like an instant dinner. You know, Flannery's an old personal friend, and he's got the dog that
loves you.
That loves me too much. He's got a dog that is the size of a lion. I kid you not.
Uh-huh. And sits down like right at your feet.
Right. And it is, I mean, this thing is 200 pounds. It is, I'm not kidding. That is what the dog weighs. And it is, you could ride the dog.
Does he lick up on you and everything?
And
tries to put his paws on my shoulder. And then he does something that I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Sometimes it comes from behind me. And he puts his paws up on my shoulder. I'm like, all right. All right. I saw this in a prison movie.
Oh.
And the dog, I got there and I took like layers upon layers upon layers of stuff off.
Yeah.
It's all a layered item here.
Right.
Everything zips out. Some
are for wind only, outer layers, and then you got the insulating layers. And the,
yes. I did it. I put it down and then the dog just rolled itself up in the in my clothes and never left. Which was weird. And
Very weird.
I got to be honest, I'm a little offended that the dog didn't want to have nuptials with me as it did the last time. It literally, the last time I was at his house, this dog grabbed me. It's got a paw that's the size of like...
Your head.
Your head.
Frying pan.
Like, yeah. It's like a lion's paw. I mean, it's the size, and it literally tried to lift my leg up so it could bring me down. So it could mount me. It was unbelievable.
Oh,
I'm
gosh,
very popular with the dogs.
Gnawing at your ankles to try to leave.
Yeah. It doesn't even know. Oh, it doesn't have to do that. It it can just come up to you and knock you like a rhinoceros.
He's not leaving. He's staying here.
Oh, man.
Where are you going, buddy?
Anyway, so it was interesting. So my layers must now have the odoriferousness of me. That's my point.
Oh. Likes that.
Yeah.
And then you don't have your odoriferousness.
No. Now my layers smell like the dog. Which is really kind of an interesting problem to have. All right, can I just move
Please,
along here? Because this is what we got to do.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Howard Schultz, the guy who basically made Starbucks.
Yep.
And just stepped down as CEO.
Huge success story in America.
Is going to run for president in 2020, he thinks. He wants to be a centrist independent. This is what he told 60 Minutes.
We're living at a most fragile time. Not only the fact that this president is not qualified to be the president, but the fact that both parties are consistently not doing what's necessary on behalf of the American people and are engaged every single day in revenge politics.
Right. Okay. Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But this does
speaks
this
a
is,
lot of people there.
That may be accurate, but that doesn't mean he'll become president of the United States. You have to actually go into one of those parties and stop the revenge politics because those parties will then turn on you.
I think they already are. Both parties turning on him.
Because he certainly will not help the Democrats.
No, I mean, you saw David Axelrod come out and say, no, this will do nothing but help elect Donald Trump again. Is that what you want to do? Michael Bloomberg is saying the exact same thing. There's some that are even suggesting boycotting Starbucks if he decides to run.
Does it really matter? All right, then he went on to say this.
Why run as an independent? Your views have always aligned with the Democratic Party.
It's true. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I look at both parties. We see extremes on both sides. Well, we are sitting today with approximately $21.5 trillion of debt, which is a reckless example, not only of Republicans, but of Democrats as well, as a reckless failure of their constitutional responsibility.
I think you could run as a Democrat and say that. And
could
the Democrat,
you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Because...
Because I would say he'd speak to a lot of Republicans there who are dissatisfied with Donald Trump because of the spending under this administration.
But matter what, he cannot win as an independent. It cannot be done.
He's already taking steps to get on the ballot in all 50 states, which is one of the difficult challenges.
So if he's a lifelong Democrat, he should run as a Democrat.
He is. He spent $100 million of his own money in the last race just trying to get Democrats elected.
And run as a centrist Democrat if he wants to do this. That's what he should do. And then you find your way into, and say that. Because, you know, the Ocasio wing, I can't believe that we're now naming an entire wing after this young woman from Queens. But you know, that wing, the Bernie wing of the of the party, I mean, that's I'm telling you something, people. The Russians are playing there, too. You think the Russians only played with the Republicans to try to stratify them out and create this micro base of Republicans that then created a base of Republicans who just followed along with them? No, that is not what happened. The Russians may have played a part in that. They are playing a part for sure. In all of this.
Extremism.
And that's what they're doing. They're trying to create as much extremism as possible. We see it. We actually see it. That's certifiable that they did that with the Bernie people. And with what's her name? The Green Party lady that we talked to once that was not of her mind.
That drew people away from the Democrats. Well, Howard Schultz is speaking of that. He's saying this free government paid for college, free health care, free government job for everyone on top of this $21 trillion debt. He says, how will we pay for it? We need compassion, empathy, but we need to maintain a deep level of understanding about what we can afford.
Okay, good luck to you on that.
He's just not, I mean, as an independent.
Donald J. Trump's Twitter account today, 7:41 a.m. Eastern. Howard Schultz doesn't have the guts to run for president. Watched him on 60 Minutes last night, and I agree with him. He's not the smartest person. Besides, America already has that. And as you pointed out, what does he mean by that? Does he mean he's the smartest person or he's not the smartest person? That's it's an excellent point that you made, Anna.
So several ways to read that passage.
Yeah. We already have the not smartest guy ever. I only hope that Starbucks is still paying me their rent in Trump Tower.
Oh, gosh.
Really? Really? President of the United States?
Is that what we're focused
concerned
on?
About their rent?
Mm-hmm.
That's like Barack Obama saying, I really hope Tony Resco is still paying the mortgage on that piece of property next to mine. I mean, it's like 2 years into the presidency. It's like, who would do that?
Right. David Axelrod tweeted out, if Schultz decides to run as an independent, Donald Trump should give Starbucks their Trump Tower space rent free. Because it would be a big gift to his own party.
This is the worst thing I've ever.
Not coming together.
I need. My God.
Number four.
Okay, so let's go to the other side of the equation here.
What's happening?
Far right Republicans are slamming the president, who reopened the government without a border wall funding. Right, something he said he would never do. Mm-hmm. So the White House Press Secretary, Sarah Sanders, says that Trump was actually set up Democrats who are risking everything that they are asking for.
they don't come back with a deal, that means Democrats get virtually nothing. That will make the president and force him to have to take executive action that does not give Democrats the things that they want. So this is a perfect time, and the table has been perfectly set by the president in order for a good deal to come together where everybody gets a little bit of something they're looking for.
Okay. Or nobody gets anything.
Or nobody gets anything.
Yep. At one point, NBC's Hallie Jackson brought up how Trump may use his executive authority.
If the president truly believes that what's happening is an emergency, why would he wait 3 weeks to declare it?
Because it's real simple. As the president has said, as most of us in the administration have said on a number of fronts, the best fix is to be able to do it legislatively. But if Congress, particularly Democrats in Congress, would rather play political games and actually do their jobs and fix the problem, then the president will be forced to take a different path. Again, ideally that doesn't happen, but we'll see what happens.
That's a good question, though. If it's an emergency, why isn't he just doing it already? Because it's really not an emergency. We get it. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in right now. Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The Bulls are going to back to Brooklyn to battle D'Angelo Russell and the Nets. Bulls-Nets Tuesday night at 6:30 on WGN TV Sports.
Rob Concho with Anna DeVlantis. Top five continues. We've worked our way up to
number three.
I know the story about the Michigan family that was forced off an airplane. They were on their way from Miami back to their home near Detroit, and people on the airplane were American Airlines flight were complaining that the family smelled funny.
Yep,
smelled funny.
That's what they said.
So here's the guy. Who says, well, wait a second, no, they were kicking us off because of our Jewish identity.
You have to calm down.
I have to calm down. I have eight children at home, yeah. And there's a religious reason for some reason that they're kicking me off the plane. We don't have odor, okay? Nobody here has odor. Oh, stop. Give me that. Oh, stop, okay?
Now, you told me for religious reasons you don't shower? Is that what you said?
No, I did. I shower every day.
Today. So what did you say?
I said it's because of my religion you kicked me off the plane. It was anti-Semitism that you kicked me off the plane.
Okay. All right.
How do you get to the bottom of that one?
I don't know, but it's just everybody's got it. Everybody's. The world's gone nuts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Checking in at
number two.
Remember Milo Yiannopoulos?
Yes.
He is the guy who was a Breitbart super editor, and he seemed like he had a little bit of a mental breakdown, but he turned it into performance art. And
that's what you do these days.
But speaking of people who are anti-Semites and really kind of out of their
haters
minds.
Haters in general.
Yeah, just a total hater. Here's a guy that he put a new music video out. He wants to prove to us that he can sing. And in this video, he shows an Israeli flag wrapped around a snake. It shows him giving a speech in drag. And he praises Jesus because he said that even when his friends left him, Jesus stayed behind.
Don't give me your mansion on top of the hill. Don't give me the world with a shallow.
Better singer than I thought he would be.
But just give
I thought we were trying to weed people like him out of the music industry.
I'd rather have Jesus than
silver going on.
And gold.
All right, thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay. I kind of expected him to be really... As untalented as he is at everything else, he'd be equally as untalented in music. Maybe he should have a career in music. The only problem is he hates everything and everybody, so it's going to make him really very difficult to sing about things that are... Although he's... Now, it's really funny. It's the last vestige of scoundrels sometimes to wrap themselves in religion. And here's one. There's a good example of it.
Perfect example.
All right.
Number one.
Saturday Night Live's take on Tucker Carlson over the weekend.
Here with his side of the story is a man you look at and instantly think, I trust this guy. Please welcome Roger Stone.
Hey, wow, what a fun couple of days. I'm loving the ride. Go Nixon.
Mr. Stone, you had a harrowing past 36 hours. Your home was raided. You were arrested and charged with 7 felony counts, including lying to Congress.
That was 4 counts.
What? The indictment says 7.
Okay, I'm lying.
That was Steve Martin, just jumped on.
That?
Yeah, how about that? Pretty crazy. All right. Well, let's close this thing up.
Let's do it.
The top 5 at 5.
Kim Gordon's news brought to you by Geico Insurance. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, the mayor's race is, I don't understand, really, when I look at this.
The poll, the recent poll, a little shocking in some ways.
I think in some ways it is there, but in other ways, the funny thing is that as you look at this, right now, with a month to go before the election, four weeks from tomorrow is the mayoral, at least the beginning of the mayoral election.
Right. Early voting starts tomorrow, downtown location. Neighborhood polling starts February 11th. But then you're right, February 26th is just around the corner.
So the new poll that just came out, the We Ask America poll, the Sun-Times has 644 likely voters. Tony Preckwinkle leads with 12.7% of the vote, with Bill Daley behind at 12.1% of the vote. The margin of error in this poll is 100%, as far as I'm concerned, but it's like 3.44% or something. So everything sits, very, very far from being very clear here. Gary Chico is at 9.3%. Willie Wilson is at 9%. And Susana Mendoza is at 8.7%. So those are your 5 leaders right there. Preckwinkle, Daley, Chico, Wilson, and Mendoza.
All just about within the margin of error for a statistical dead heat. Mendoza's slightly out of that. But really, if you factor in that margin of error, they're all there.
Yep. And John Fritchie, who is our mayoral analyst here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. I hope that you do as well as Mike Monaco does, being an illegal analyst. He just ended up signing Michael Cohen as his client. Maybe Bloomberg will have you run his presidential campaign before it's all said and done. But John Fritchie, a longtime Chicago area politician, most recently a Cook County commissioner. Mm-hmm. And now, as you look at this, as you look across the board here, can anybody declare victory here? Can anybody say, well, this is good for me?
Well, no, but I think what you're seeing is that the race is much tighter with more candidates than anybody expected. People looked at this as being maybe a 2-horse race, a 3-horse race. And you've got to remember, in the beginning, Tony Preckwinkle treated this almost as a coronation and was trying to get the impression out there that it was a done deal. Not only is it not a done deal, there are a number of scenarios where she may not make the runoff even. But when you have 5 candidates that are basically in a dead heat, what you really want to look at isn't those 5. Because at this stage still, a lot of that's name recognition. And people know those names. What you want to look at is the other 9 candidates and who do they take votes away from. You know, this is going to be a razor-thin margin as far as who gets into the runoff.
Right.
So when you look at, you know, who does a LaShawn Ford take votes from? You know, who's Willie taking votes from? You know, Amara. You know, Amara's getting a lot of support with younger voters, but a lot of those are going to be people who don't normally vote in a mayoral race, so she may not have the adverse impact that you would think. Dorothy Brown being out of this race, I think, is a big...
Shocker. Total shocker.
Big benefit to Tony Preckwinkle, though, because I think a lot of those...
Now, she was in this poll, though, because this poll was done before she was officially off the ballot, and she was getting about 4.7%, which would have put her in 6th place at that point, ahead of Paul Valsa, ahead of Gary McCarthy. The question is, where do her votes go? Do they break toward Willie Wilson, or do they break toward some other character in this race that I'm not quite sure who her votes were in the first place. I think she's a name recognition play as well. Because she's, I mean, her office is under constant investigation. They opened up a field office for the FBI just in her office. I mean, it's crazy what goes on.
And they had to pay to wear blue jeans. That was the worst part.
Yeah, right.
So, let's go down to the bottom here for a second. Will people jump out now between now and let's say 2 weeks from now? So there's a 2 week run up to this. Do you see anybody? So at the very bottom, going from the bottom to the middle here, you got Kozar, John Kozar. He's at 0.6%. Jerry Joyce under a percentage point. Bob Fioretti also at 0.9%. LaShawn Ford at 1.2%. Lori Lightfoot at 2.8%. Now, this is kind of interesting. Amara Enya at 3.1% and Gary McCarthy only at 3.7%. There's as big a name recognition as you can imagine, Gary McCarthy. And still, that seems like he's, you know, he's definitely in that bottom tier.
Well, I think the problem that happened with Gary is when he first got in this race, he was the one guy that was taking it to Rahm. Now that Rahm's no longer an issue here, he simply becomes the old police superintendent and has to wear the jacket for that. I'm not saying that good or bad. That's just the reality of what it is. Yeah. With respect to the lower tier candidates, I think if they were smart, a lot of them have to realize they don't have a path to victory. And if they really have some policy initiatives, some things they want to get done, now may be the time to start talking to some of the leading candidates and say, look, this is what's important to me. If you can commit to me that we can work on these issues, if you win, I'll try to throw my support to you.
Now, are we at that point right now, or you think they have another week or two of life?
No, I think that with any sense of reality, you know if you have a path to victory or not. And some of them are running for different reasons. Some of them are running for name recognition going forward or whatever that may be. But I think now's the time to get involved. Some people can transfer their support. Some people can't. Dorothy probably can to a certain extent. She's always had kind of a core constituency. My expectation is that she will make an endorsement sooner rather than later, and that may have an effect as well. But really,
she goes with Preckwinkle, you think?
My gut feel is that she goes with Willie Wilson. Okay. I think they have more of an overlap. Willie has performed very well in African American wards, and some of those better than Tony Preckwinkle. So I think Dorothy can sway some of her supporters. Some of these other ones, I don't know that they can. But now would be the time to build coalitions. What you're not going to see at this point are any efforts at coalition building near the top. But they also have to be careful, because if you really start beating up on people, and I think these next 4 weeks are going to start to get vicious, but if you start beating up on some of the other front runners and you wind up getting into the runoff and they don't, it's going to be very hard to get them in the fold when you need to get to 50.
What is interesting is Mendoza plays a different role here, right? So she's a woman, she's Hispanic, she's got great name recognition, she's got some money behind her, she's on TV a lot, you know, her commercials are on TV a lot, and I think she's in this to stay. But the question I think that Gary Chico and Bill Daley are playing is who's going to outlast whom here? Can either of them, because they're, you know, second and third position here, but not even, I mean, I would just call it sort of tied for first with Preckwinkle as Daley, and Gary Chico is tied with Willie Wilson and Susana Mendoza and all that. So just underneath it. Do you see either of them blinking?
Well, I think you're looking at that poll with a little too much credibility. Let's get back to what you said in the beginning, the margin of error. I don't think that there is a sub-tier A and sub-tier B there. You have five front runners right now, and they have to figure out where's their path, who are their voters that they can bring on board. A lot of these people now are going to become, if they're not already, familiar names. So I would say, listen, I've served with Tony Preckwinkle. I've served with Susana Mendoza. I've served with LaShawn Ford. I know a number of the other candidates. But they are going to have to define themselves a little bit better right now and break out of the pack. You've got 14 candidates who are going to say, we need better schools, safer streets, you know, more fiscal responsibility. Mm-hmm. But right. You need something to break out of the pack for the voters to know who you are. And when they go into the polling place and they look at a laundry list of mayoral candidates, they're going to be like, yeah, you know what? I remember that person.
Corruption and ethics is front and center, particularly because two of these candidates, Preckwinkle and Mendoza, took quite a bit of money from Alderman Solis and Alderman Burke, and both doesn't mean they personally did anything wrong, but they returned those payments, we're told.
No,
we're not sure about Preckwinkle, right? Is that not come back?
Preckwinkle, you know, it doesn't take that long with online bill payer writing a check these days, but the Preckwinkle campaign has said that they can't return that money until the end of March. They have their reasons, whatever that may be. And you can't just look at contributions when you've
until the end of March. That's after
after
the primary
the election.
Or the first election,
right?
What? I mean,
that doesn't smell right.
No, it does not. Now, Susana Mendoza gave the money to this VFW hall, the first African American VFW hall, is a Marine built by these Marines in Englewood,
right?
After World War II, really an amazing story with that particular facility is
great organization.
And she cherry picked that organization to give the money to. She gave a lot of, and it basically saved that organization,
right?
So it was a
immediately changed the narrative on that whole thing,
right? But
she's now rolling out that anti-corruption plan. Did you see that with Dan Webbs deciding to lay out this complete plan to sort of, you know, hit the reset button on all of that?
And there's a couple things to think about, though. When you talk about, you know, corruption here, there have been no allegations that Mendoza did anything, right, or there was any improper influence with the money she took.
That's right.
It's a little different with the Burke contributions to Preckwinkle. And, you know, the voters will have to decide that going forward. The Dan Webb thing is not getting the attention that it deserves, in my opinion. This is a guy with, you know, impeccable character, a great reputation. When he suggests putting together an independent commission, kind of like the Salovey Commission way back when, which led to all the Gray Lord indictments and a number of other ones, that's the type of thing that can really restore trust. It's not the time for a blue ribbon panel or something along those lines. So I think you're going to start to see more things like that where people say, look, I've got something concrete that I'm going to put on the table. This will be my first action as mayor or whatever that may be. But again, they need to differentiate themselves. Otherwise, you're just going to get lost in the clutter.
You know, these are always interesting, but this year is so unlike any year I've ever seen here in my life in Chicago, which is that you have so many people and it is so wide open that there doesn't seem to be the amount of coverage either, because, you know, so much of the news coverage gets sucked up by what's going on in Washington or other kinds of dysfunction. And now, especially this time, we're having kind of an interesting parallel to the election of 1979. Right, which was the one that was the groundbreaking election. It was the end of the first daily era, and Richard M. Daley was running for mayor, and Mike Blandick was still running for it. It was Mike Blandick versus Jane Byrne, and then 83 was fascinating because then you had Richard M. Daley against Harold Washington, right? And Harold Washington ran away with that. So this is, and Jane Byrne, by splitting the vote. That's the only thing that I think is similar. This is the only thing that's the potential for splitting the vote, but you're going to split the vote maybe two or three different ways here as opposed to one way.
Well, and there's a silver lining here in a roundabout kind of way. You know, there's a time not too long ago that you may have had a bunch of white candidates, a bunch of African-American candidates. You look at this field, we have whites, African-Americans, Latinos, men, women, older, younger.
True.
So, you know, that's really historic, not just in the number of candidates, but people really do have something to choose from.
Right.
But again, you know, voters are going to have to, or the candidates will have to show, you know, I'm the best choice on the menu.
It's possible two women of color could be in the runoff with Preckwinkle Mendoza being so high up there. That's absolutely possible. It looks like Daley is the tops in fundraising, though, and that certainly matters. The business community is certainly siding with him.
And, you have to give Bill Daley credit where credit's due. I think conventional wisdom for a long time was that Chicago was far from ready to vote for another Daley. He's managed to separate himself independently and be judged. You know, whether people like him or don't like him, he's getting judged on his own merits, and he gets a lot of credit just for doing that.
He does.
And also, I think there's a stability play that people look at, too. They think Daley, well, I didn't really love it before, but I don't want this. You know, there are big issues around the corner for the city, and we need a steady hand, not necessarily nobody sent, you know, because the Chicagoans do sort of embody that as well. But the people at the top, you know, the interesting one is Paul Vallis.
That he's not up there?
That he's not up there. That he's, you know, kind of still lingering down in that bottom half tier here. I think we can look, at least, John, would you agree that we can look at this as the two discrete groups here, sort of the front runners versus the rest, right?
That's right. I mean, okay. If you look at that top handful of votes, you know, right there, you've already got about 65% of the vote just with that top group right there.
Right.
And again, if you have more than a point and a half separating first and second place, I'll be surprised.
All right, John Fritchie, our mayoral analyst right now. He's going to be very busy over the next four weeks, whether he likes it or not. All right, let's check in now. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Not warm at all. There's nothing warm about this.
Ain't no sunshine when
nothing.
She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
All right. Please don't. Please don't make this worse than it already is. Rick DeMaio is going to join us now. Rick
Great.
DeMaio is our backup to Tom Skilling. That's because when Tom's working, Rick is available to us, except when he is an adjunct professor at Loyola University and aviation meteorologist at Lewis University. He's a big-time academic now, is what he is. But
we'll call it medium. But before we get started, Anna, listening to you guys talk to Tom every day, it seems like there always needs to be a little bit of therapy for Rose. So I'm going to start out by saying that we had 2 hours and 45 minutes today where the temperature was above 32 degrees.
Thank you.
And the sun is now, you're welcome, the sun is now setting after 5 o'clock. Does that help a little bit
for
you?
That totally helps.
That's a little bit. It's not the worst.
Not enough.
Once the 5 o'clock barrier is broken, that's like the first time I breathe. I stop. When we turn the clocks back and it's like 4:40 or whatever, and it's like, and then it's like the sun goes down at 4:40, and I don't take a breath until we get to the late third week of January, where we get to the 5 o'clock.
What's worse, though, lack of sunlight or the cold weather?
Lack of sunlight.
That's what I thought.
Bigger.
So it actually did help a lot, Rick, what you just
for
said.
For sure. I like
I just did a quick shop at Jewel, and I was amazed how many people were actually in there kind of talking about the cold weather, all kind of realizing that if they don't do this now, they may not do it for the next 2 days because, A, they don't want to go out, and, B, they may not have a car to do it. And so this is like one of the weird cold weather situations that has kind of taken the city, as you want to call it, by storm. We seem to handle snow pretty well, but cold, it basically affects just about everybody up and down the spectrum.
Sure.
The snow, I will say this, it has been a long time. I know this is an election year, but the guy's not running, so what difference does it make? But in election years, the giant snow removal is excellent in this town. The snow removal this year, and we've had, we had some snow in November, and obviously we've had, a pretty good run of snow in January.
Yeah, 11 straight days right now.
Yeah, it is amazing how clear this has been, at least around downtown for sure, and out in the neighborhoods. I was out in the neighborhoods over the weekend, and it would seem like at least the arterial streets had been cleared pretty well.
But you know what's sad? Up until about 2 hours ago, most of the streets were clear. We had temperatures in the low to mid-30s. Salt works great. The snow ended basically about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. Just the crews did a wonderful job. They're probably looking out there going, wait a minute, all the work that I just did has now been covered up in the last hour or two by about an inch and a half of snow, and now temperatures back into the mid-teens, and they feel like, man, all the work that I just did went for naught. But at least we got that 2, 3, 4 inch of powdery snow off, because if you don't get that off in this weather, it's here for the next at least 3 or 4 days, and you ain't going nowhere with that stuff.
All right, that's the thing.
So let's talk about that, because now, this is the beginning of the end of the world right now. Okay, so
This is one of three Arctic fronts that are coming through.
Sounds terrible.
Okay. You mean for 3 days, right?
Yeah. I think Tom laid it out clearly in his, one surge, and then another one, and another one.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Not warm at all. There's nothing warm about this.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
All right. Please don't. Please don't make this worse than it already is. Rick DeMaio is going to join us now. Rick DeMaio is he's our backup to Tom Skilling. That's because when Tom's working, Rick is available to us, except when he is an adjunct professor at Loyola University and aviation meteorologist at Lewis University. He's a big-time academic now, is what he is. But
we'll call it medium. But before we get started, Anna, listening to you guys talk to Tom every day, it seems like there always needs to be a little bit of therapy for Rose. So I'm going to start out by saying that
We had 2 hours and 45 minutes today where the temperature was above 32 degrees.
Thank you.
And the sun is now, you're welcome, the sun is now setting after 5 o'clock. Does that help a little
bit?
That
totally helps.
That's a little bit. It's not the worst.
Not enough.
Once the 5 o'clock barrier is broken, that's like the first time I breathe. I stop. When we turn the clocks back and it's like 4:40 or whatever, and it's like, and then it's like the sun goes down at 4:40, and I don't take a breath until we get to the late third week of January where we get to the 5 o'clock.
What's worse, though, lack of sunlight or the cold weather?
Lack of sunlight.
That's what I thought.
Bigger.
So it actually did help a lot, Rick, what you just
said. For sure.
I just did a quick shop at Jewel, and I was amazed how many people were actually in there kind of talking about the cold weather, all kind of realizing that if they don't do this now, they may not do it for the next 2 days because, A, they don't want to go out, and, B, they may not have a car to do it. And so this is like one of the weird cold weather situations that has kind of taken the city, as you want to call it, by storm. We seem to handle snow pretty well, but cold, it basically affects just about everybody up and down the spectrum.
Sure.
The snow, I will say this, it has been a long time. I know this is an election year, but the guy's not running, so what difference does it make? But in election years, the giant snow removal is excellent in this town. This snow removal this year, and we've had, we had some snow in November, and obviously we've had, a pretty good run of snow in January.
Yeah, 11 straight days right now.
Yeah, it is amazing how clear this has been, at least around downtown for sure, and out in the neighborhoods. I was out in the neighborhoods over the weekend, and it seemed like the arterial streets had been cleared pretty well.
But you know what's sad? Up until about 2 hours ago, most of the streets were clear. We had temperatures in the low to mid-30s. Salt works great. The snow ended basically about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. Just the crews did a wonderful job. They're probably looking out there going, wait a minute, all the work that I just did has now been covered up in the last hour or two by about an inch and a half of snow, and now temperatures back into the mid-teens. And they feel like, man, all the work that I just did went for naught. But at least we got that 2, 3, 4 inch of powdery snow off, because if you don't get that off in this weather, it's here for the next at least 3 or 4 days, and you ain't going nowhere with that stuff.
All right,
so let's talk about that, because right now this is the beginning of the end of the world right now. Okay, so
this is one of three Arctic fronts that are coming through.
Sounds terrible.
Okay, you mean for 3 days? Right.
I think Tom laid it out clearly in his, one surge and then another one and another one. But I'll let you ask the question.
Okay, thank you very much. And just remember, please instruct.
Never forget that.
Your Honor, please instruct the witness that you should only answer what has been asked.
Rick is now a student. Sit down and shut up. Right?
All right. So here's that. So I'm looking out onto the streets of Chicago from our perch above the Chicago River.
Beautiful
and
perch.
It's glazy down there right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because it's snow. Like you just pointed out, we got a fresh dusting of snow that's turned to water.
An inch to 2 inches in some areas.
All right, so we got that. Now that's going to turn to water, and as these temperatures starting right now start their descent into the depths of hell, the chemicals that we use for this are going to be no longer effective when you get below 8 degrees, right?
Yeah, and this is interesting because one of the things my students are doing, I'm teaching this really cool course. It's called Topics in Operational Meteorology. So they're actually following how the airlines and airports operate in this type of weather. And if you remember last week, we had that kind of like freezing drizzle type of scenario, over 600 flights canceled. It's really hard to clear freezing drizzle off of airplanes as opposed to blowing it with like a type 1 fluid, which is kind of warm. It takes everything off pretty quickly. The stuff that's out there right now doesn't get clear with salt. Salt basically doesn't work when you're down to about 15 to 20 degrees, and forget when you get down into minus 10 or minus 15. So all the normal stuff that we do, all the normal stuff that airlines and airports do in the normal weather that we have is basically out the window. And if you're pretty much a manager of Midway and O'Hare right now, you're kind of looking through your specs book and going, we don't have a plan for this. See, almost like you have to call up someone in Grand Forks or Fairbanks and say, how do you guys operate when the morning low temperature, two mornings in a row, is 20 to 25 degrees below zero,
and the afternoon high temperature is minus 15. First off, the people working the ramp, their hours, or their, at least their time that they're out there, is probably cut in half. Then you have to have people to go out there and fill that void. To do that, you have to either have extra people on staff, you have to either call in people for overtime, and next you have the problem with whether or not you can get people to actually come in and work. So even though in weather like this, especially when we begin tomorrow night into Wednesday, typically you have VFR weather, which is basically clear during these types of environments, but it's how you can actually get people to service the airplanes, which is going to be a problem, and that's going to be another issue that the airlines have to deal with.
You're right. I mean, skin exposure, you're saying matter of minutes, you could really have problems. This is dangerous cold. So how do you, you know, how do you have people out there working in the cold?
And Anna, the point that you mentioned is whether or not, you know, it's not easy to work when you're completely bundled up.
Right.
So if you're out there normally for a half hour, now you're down to 15 minutes. What about a large airplane, a 777 that comes in and typically will have your standard 6 to 8 people servicing both sides of the airplane? You're basically looking at how cold air is now not impacting the operation of the airline, but actually impacting the ability for people to do their jobs.
Right,
so this has wide-ranging impacts on many, many different levels.
You know, it's amazing just to get the bags off the airplane, get them on and off the airplane, because you got to have the guy, you know, at the bottom of the little conveyor belt, and then the person at the top who's in the airplane sucking the thing up and moving it around. I mean, there are a lot of unthought about consequences to what these next 72 hours are going to be like in Chicago. I mean, we think about the grander issues of your pipes. Make sure if you have a single family home or you're in a small building, make sure that your outdoor pipes, you know, you've cut off the water supply to your outdoor pipes in any way that you can do that. You know, if you have a garden hose outlet or whatever, silcock as they call it, but when I say it, everybody laughs. And then you have to also make sure that maybe a little bit of water running is a good idea, just a drip so the water continues to move. That is a way, because moving water won't freeze, right? That's the theory there. It's but you also have to be concerned about ice dams. And now, especially given the way that we've had this glaze, this precipitation that we've had over the last couple of days, you're getting icicles. This is going to be one, and they're going to form huge. And then when it thaws, and we're going to a very quick thaw over the weekend, because it's going to be in the 30s and 40s on Sunday, 44 is high on Sunday, you're going to have stuff falling off buildings downtown. It'd be very dangerous.
Yeah, as far as the icicles go, I think we're almost going to be too cold in the first 6 inches of the surface of the roof inside the forming of the icicles. Usually that'll form more so, I think, with some warmer temperatures, but that still remains to be seen. But the bottom line is, when we come out of this, there's going to be a rapid warm-up, and we can actually see rain around here on Sunday, and whether or not that produces any flooding. To put this into perspective, if people remember, this was back, I think it was 2014, 5 years ago, we had a low of minus 16, a high of minus 2. That was cold on a scale of 1-10, that was probably about an 8. This is going to be, as Tom pointed out with his forecast, temperatures probably 10 degrees colder in the morning, 10 degrees lower in the afternoon, and for probably 10 to 20 hours longer. So whatever doesn't break or doesn't work on Wednesday most likely won't work or will break by the time you get to Thursday. And Rowan, Anna, I've been to this with these outbreaks back in 94 and 96, particularly when I was with United Airlines in 94. Literally half the flights were canceled. And then back in 85, when we had a record cold here, I was actually a student up in Madison, Wisconsin, where it got down to minus 33, and it goes to the term of barbaric, how cold it is. You literally cannot be outside for more than 5 or 10 minutes. Your eyelashes freeze. You try to breathe in the air through your lungs, and you literally feel it in the back of your throat. Mm-hmm. And there's really no other better way to describe it. This is about as bad as it gets, and we're going to see 2 days of it.
Well, really, you made me now, and you wonder why I'm panicking. What the hell kind of thing is that, Rick?
This may be where it's actually justified.
You're panicking because you have to come to work and tell everybody and field questions from people about what they need to do and how they need to do it. Most people will be able to stay at home, so we do have that luxury. You don't, unfortunately.
That's true. Now, I do know there are a bunch of offices downtown are closing on Wednesday for sure.
A lot of people working from home have already been advised not to come in.
Right.
And schools are canceling, not Chicago Public Schools yet. I guess they're making their announcement tomorrow by noon. But
they're open tomorrow, though, right? CPS is open tomorrow?
Yeah, but they're kind of looking forward to Wednesday and Thursday what their game plan is. Tomorrow, they're going to announce by tomorrow at noon is what they're saying.
Yeah, because it's going to be bad.
If I remember, guys, the last time we had this type of a setup, we had a lot of problems with Metro with their switching. Yeah. I also remember during that time I was taking the Purple Line from Evanston downtown. And, man, if you're on an elevated platform or an elevated train, the Red Line, Blue Line, the Green Line, most of our trains here, it's amazing how people try to sit as far away from those opening doors as possible. Because every time that window opens up, it's like literally everybody scatters. There's really no other better way to describe it. Wednesday is basically a stay-home day.
Okay. I should hide under my sheets and comforter and all of that.
Well, you have a job to do, and so do I, right?
Since when? All right. Rick DeMaio, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick.
Appreciate it.
Sure, guys. Anytime I can help you, I'll let you know.
Of course. Rick DeMaio, adjunct professor at Loyola University and aviation meteorologist at Lewis University, longtime television weatherman here in Chicago.
Yeah. Colder than Mount Everest, Antarctica, and Siberia on Wednesday.
This is colder than Mount Everest?
That's what CBS News is reporting.
Well, that's people's
on
noses.
Wednesday.
People's noses fall off on Mount Everest.
Yes, they do.
Do you ever see?
They get really black first or blue, and then they go. Yes.
It's also going to be colder. Here's something to think about. It's going to be colder than Mars.
Some places here. On Mars, yes.
Yes.
Something to think about as you're preparing if you have to go out in the cold that day.
Which is good news because I found that my Arctic wear
is great so far.
Pretty good in this. Maybe I could make it on Mars. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe you could walk to work on Wednesday, too. That could happen. I don't see that happening.
I don't want my nose to fall off between the time I get it because it's hard. It's going to change the tonal quality of this program because people, you know, they so enjoy my whininess. I would hate to disappoint them.
Yeah, they might be cheating a little bit on the Mount Everest one. They're saying base camp.
Oh, yeah, because that's not at the top.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's nose fall off territory up at the top.
Yeah.
That's where you're up there and you blow your nose and your whole nose comes off in it. It's like, that's a bad deal.
That's totally bad. But not to be messed with anyway, what we're having.
Except the Sherpa is like in a Speedo and running back and forth. I've never understood
that. How does
that happen? Billionaires pay all this money to go, you know, climb up there and tech entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I finally made it. They show them all up there. And then there's a guy.
In the back who's already there.
Right. There's a guy who's, you know, is like. Okay,
well, somebody has to take the picture.
Right.
Wait, who's taking the picture?
And the guy goes, hey, I think I just left my oxygen down there. Can you go get it? And the guy runs down the hill, gets it, runs back up the hill. It's like, what?
You guys ever see Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
No, I haven't. I don't think I have.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, then I'd give a spoiler. Well, one of the characters passes away, and they're in space, and all of a sudden, he just freezes instantly. And I keep imagining that, like that I'm going to walk out of my house on Wednesday, and I'm going to
just freeze. Turn into a freezing person.
It's like that. There's that movie Day After Tomorrow, where a helicopter just turns, just freezes, and just, you know, falls out of the sky.
It's kind of what the polar vortex is, right? It's
sort
like
of
coming from the north and
exactly
vortexing. Down.
I'd like to blame Dick Cheney for this, although I think he's going to win an Oscar this year. All right, can I let's find out from Kim Gordon what's going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Brookfield Zoo and Lincoln Park Zoo both closed during the upcoming deep freeze. Not that you want to go to the zoo.
They let the animals go home, too.
What do the polar bears do?
I mean,
are they happy in this?
I kind of think the polar bear is going to be okay. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Okay.
Right now, we have got Kim Gordon standing by in the WGN newsroom. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. And all right.
So-called, I even bought my dog those little booty things I never thought I would buy ever, but I am. And then it helps with salt as well, so it's not just cold. And then a little jacket.
Has your dog worn the booty things yet?
No.
Okay.
So she was trying to put. I was trying to put them on her in the store, and she refused to allow that.
Right.
So it was a difficult process. I just bought them, and now they're at home.
This is
all teed up.
This is a learned behavior. It is not natural for a dog to wear shoes, and this is an issue. I saw this over the weekend. A dog. It was like a whippet or it was like a greyhoundish kind of dog.
Yeah.
And the owner had put these little like boxing gloves on the bottom of the dog's feet, and the dog was doing this thing where it was like throwing one leg up in the air at a time, didn't know how to walk in them, and it was like walking across the street and then flailing. It was kind of like cantering or something, like one leg at a time. And you're like, what? The dog was like, I don't know what to do with this. I can't feel anything. This is wrong.
Well, I was trying to decide if she was a small or medium, so I put the medium size on her, and she immediately took her teeth and ripped it off.
Yeah.
And then I had to buy them. But now I'm just going to put the Velcro on a little bit tighter. But
You will not like them. Now, the salt is an issue.
Between her, yeah,
no
paws.
Question.
I've seen her. We go on walks all weekend, and during that time, you can see she starts like all of a sudden favoring one paw and trying to lick it to get the salt out.
Yeah,
it's
you
clearly
don't want that
affecting
either.
Her.
Yeah.
So.
But it's just going to be maybe I don't know, baggies. I don't something a little,
a little plastic baggies.
A little plastic baggies.
Little ties on them.
Yeah, because I think that's going to be better than the actual shoes because they get totally freaked out in those. They want to at least feel. They have to feel something underneath there. That's their thing.
I also bought the little balloon-like ones. Have you seen those? They look like little balloons. They're called disposables.
The paws ones.
What I'm talking about? You kind of pull them over. They're like kind of rubbery.
Oh, yeah.
And they can grip.
it's like a foot condom.
Yeah, a little doggy foot condom.
That's exactly what they are.
It's a dog foot condom, and then the dog just goes out. All right. Now, see, that might make more sense because at least they have a little more sensation. At least that's how they advertise it. So maybe you got that ability to get that
impervious
sense.
To everything.
Yeah.
So it works.
Maybe that's a little bit better because I don't know, man. It's the dog's out in this. And dogs, now this is the one, like, dogs by their nature. I had a cold weather dog, mm-hmm. and the dog was like, would love, like, on a walk when it was under 30. The dog was like, I loved it. Right, it's
sure.
snow.
I
loved the
it was
snow.
Like a husky mix. I had one, and
yeah.
He was loved this weather. Like at the end of the season, there'd be one little patch of ice in the backyard. He'd go sit on top of that.
Yes, they love the idea of that. The only issue, however, is that now this
is
coming
not
in here.
Dog friendly weather.
Dogs don't like this either.
No,
that's where they go. All right, that's it. I'm going back in.
No. Exactly.
I mean, can you even take dogs out in this type of weather?
Yeah, we're working on potty pad training tonight.
I do hear this. I hear this from some friends. They're like, my dog's never used a potty pad in the house, but this may be the stretch, these 72 hours, where I would try to train him all of a sudden and see if he'll go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, potty pads honestly are lifesavers. Like when my older dog got older, mm-hmm. we put it back by the back door. She'd have a full bowl of food and water. And if we got caught up at work, like she did what she needed to do. It wasn't disgusting, and we didn't have to worry about, like, we're hurting.
And she went right to it. She understood it.
Yep, right by the back door. It was right there. Yep.
Because the puppies don't understand it. Because the puppies, the whole world is a urinal to puppies.
Oh, the puppies eat it and use it as Superman capes. They run around the house with Superman capes of potty pads.
Yeah, they're right. The puppies, puppies are like, I don't get. Listen, I'm a puppy. I'm cute. You're not gonna do. It's like babies. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
They get the same thing, and they're like,
they'll get away with
I'm
this.
I'm cute. I'm gonna get away with this. You're not gonna do anything to me. And then you're trying to explain to them, and they do. They're like, they'll puppies. It takes a little while for their awareness to really kick in, but by the time they're older and they get it. As soon as they've been trained in one thing, they can be trained in something, right? And so that's got to be the thing. And this cold is going to be incredibly dangerous. I know that a lot of people just let their dog go out by themselves in their backyard or whatever. You just open the door and then the dog takes off. I think that's not even advisable in this, because if the dog gets caught in something out there, make sure you're watching your dog even in the backyard with this cold, because you never know.
Not to leave them out too long. I mean, come on, do their business. They probably want to come in too.
Yeah.
This is not.
They're going to probably do their business at the door, is basically what they're going to do. You're going to let them out, they're going to do it, and then, turn back around and
Governor
come in.
Pritzker, 23 minutes ago, don't leave Fido or Fluffy out in the extreme cold this week. The Illinois Humane Center for Animals Act provides that if a dog or cat is left outside during extreme temps and suffers hypothermia, the owner could be charged with animal cruelty.
Wow.
So there you go. Reminding everyone.
And really, that's our biggest issue right now. Is that we're going to start?
I don't know.
They're going to start prosecuting
those
cases.
Remind people of, because I think it's also. It's just, come on. You're in charge of them.
Yeah. And this is really a notice to stoners. Don't forget your dog.
Dude, where'd Fluffy go?
Hey, yeah. Ha! I let Fluffy out, like, on Wednesday.
Oh, she had a good run, bro.
Guys are awful.
You're terrible. I mean,
well, stoners
trying to make
stoners,
this helpful.
Stoners should not own dogs. That's just
That's
it
true.
Should be a rule.
They don't get up early enough. They're not responsible. They can't keep track of time very well.
It's like that scene in The Sopranos when Christopher.
Oh, don't. That's now. That's no. Don't. Don't. See, now you've gone too far. You just went
really?
Too far.
I went too.
You're
far.
You're calling out Kevin.
Yeah, really.
The Too Far Patrol over here. How are you in charge of that?
Hold on. Mindy wants to talk about her doggy boots. Hold on. Mindy, you're on WGN.
Hi.
Hey, Mindy.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to tell you, I heard your story about your dog and buying the boots, but we bought, this is the second year, and he's a Shih Tzu poodle, and we got him from a shelter, and the first year he was okay. Last year he was horrible, so we bought them. They are costly, but he did awesome in them last year and so far for this year, so it's a good thing for them.
You think he figured it out after a while that he was getting salt?
Oh, yeah, because he loves going out there now.
Really?
And we even have a little coat where, you know, some people, like, don't want to be seen with their animals with coats, but it's for them. I mean, we're cold, so, and it helps them.
Well, that's it's a little dog, too, the littler the dogs.
Yeah.
And also, like, short-haired dogs. In the cold.
Yes. Yeah.
They can't
really,
handle it.
Yeah, that's not. But dogs that are like bigger and huskies, like shepherds and things like that, they tend to, you know, but this
yeah,
cold
like this
is not
water.
Good for anybody.
No.
This cold
no.
is not. This is where they would, in the wild, wolves would dig, you know, they dig caves, they dig holes in the ground, and they get down there and they pile on top of each other, and sometimes they don't even make it. This is really not, this is not for man nor beast. This
and you know, you were saying too about, you know, letting your dog out in the back. I mean, you should go out there anyway where you live, in McHenry, and like we hear coyotes and there's animals out there, and I mean, this is time of year they're hungry, so like just watch your
excellent
your
point, Mindy.
Friends.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thanks,
very
Mindy.
Be a
there's
good,
hope.
Be a good owner.
For any dog owner, if you're trying to put those little doggy booties on, I guess they can grow into them.
Okay.
Good to know.
I like the idea of the doggy footy condom is what I like.
You should market that. See how that goes.
I mean, we got to do something here. We might as well. This is kind of because now do they are they what are they like the size of a foot and you just kind of slip them on and how do they stay attached?
I swear the ones I just I bought two kinds. I bought the kind that's actually like the shoe you talk with a little Velcro and it's got like a, kind of a little bit
I
of
get
a
that.
Gripping
What's this
action.
Little rubber one?
The rubber ones come in packages of like I want to say 12 or 16 and they look like balloons. They look like party balloons. They come in purple and blue and yellow and black. And they, you know, and you just put it, you just kind of push it or pull it up right over the little paw like it's rubber. It's just a little rubber balloon.
Right. And it's, and it just slides
it
over.
Just slides
Is
over.
It like powdered or something to make it go on easier?
And you
like
supposedly
gloves?
Can reuse them, but they're technically disposable if you
I
just
don't
want
recommend
to throw them
that.
Away. But you see them in the dog park. The little doggies, some of them are okay with it.
Well, there's beer money, and then there's, you know, sometimes you have to make decisions. Right. I just think that...
Can we have a bell for Too Far? I mean, just like have one of those over here that I could press. Like, because I think I should be in charge of the Too Far. Not you, Ro. Not Kevin.
Trying to have some
not
fun
you.
While we get tortured this week.
That's true. We got to have fun, something to laugh about. Woo!
Yeah, generally we'll God gets even with us.
That's the sound we need.
So is there's no good answer for this. And the salt is the big issue with the dogs, right? In good conditions, but in this condition, there's no answer here.
No,
there's just no answer. There's no way to make this better for your dogs.
Because you get little pieces of ice in between, and it's that cold outside. It's just not great.
Just let them go in the house and then bleach the floors. I don't know.
Thank you. You know, I'm sure.
Then you don't have
you know
to go
what?
Outside.
This is a plug for Green Tea Carpet Cleaning Service right now is what it is.
Perfect.
You know, they're all of our home repair people are so happy about this because there's this kind of a weather circumstance is going to create all of these problems that they're all going to have to be able to fix here. You keep the dog in the crate. I don't know if you're, you know, crate types, but I'll tell you right now. My daughter's about to get a dog.
A puppy?
Yeah, a puppy. And
it's the wrong time of year for that, but okay.
Well, it's coming up. It's not right now.
Not right now.
But it's about a month away. And the and her husband was like, I don't know. I mean, you know, like they're already debating how they're gonna, you know, like sort of co-manage this. And the crate came up as an issue.
Oh.
And he's like, and he's never really had a dog.
He's not a crate guy?
No, and she grew up around, you know, dogs her whole life. So she's familiar with the whole idea of, like, the crate and why the crate is important. And I just point people to who are not crate trainers. I point you to the video of the Alaska earthquake from October or November, whenever that was.
I know which one you're talking about, with the dogs.
Where everybody's running around in the living room of this house, including dogs and humans and kids, and they're like, it's shaking, nobody knows what to do. One dog out of like three that were there makes it to the crate first and just stands in there.
Very smart.
Right? Like, hey, I'm fine. I'm in the crate. I'm good. You people, good luck to you.
It's their place to be safe. Yeah. It's a little safety zone
so
for them.
It is what that is. So just, you know, this is the time of year. You got to be very, very, very careful.
Yeah, got to watch out.
Now, I was just told by our producer that, Jen, you are like a long-distance runner. You like do...
I am.
Like, you're like an ultra-marathoner type?
Exactly.
Is that like, that means you like Ironman, or what do you do?
So, I just learned how to swim, so I can't do Ironman. Ultramarathons are anything basically over the marathon distance. They typically start at like 31 miles, and most of them are not done on pavement. Like you see marathons, they're done on trails in the middle of nowhere.
Do you do like that Big Mudder thing, whatever they call that?
I've never done one of those, but some of my races have been like that. I've done like downpours and thunderstorms in the mountains of northern Minnesota, and like...
All right, you're out of your mind. Now, are you going to be? You said now. He was just telling me that you run in this.
Well, I ran today. I did 4 miles.
I only did 4 miles today.
You stop myself. Let's walk that back. Yeah. Well, nobody had shoveled yet, and snow was great to run in because it really isn't slick, especially if you're wearing like a trail shoe, and it's softer than the pavement that we're surrounded with. So it mimics like a limestone or a mud where it's easier on your knees and your hips. So it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You won't run in the super cold though.
No. No. Okay. Now that I'm not touching.
All right.
No.
Okay. All right. Good.
But this weekend you were running.
So this morning I did.
Oh, this morning.
Yeah. Okay.
What's your cutoff for cold?
You know, I've done like the 0 degree thing, but really you can't get more than like 30, 40 minutes in before your eyelashes start freezing and you start getting icicles in your hair. And that's just not fun.
Yeah. Icicles in your hair. That happens to me all the time. Yeah, that was actually the name of my band.
Hair icicles.
Yeah. No, icicles in your hair. That was the name of my band, our first album and our first single. All right, let's check in now with Don Kleppen's got the news headlines for the top of the hour. What's going on, Don? All right, Don Kleppen is standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We're going to get to him in just a few minutes. You know what? I got to do this, though, too.
Okay.
Before I do anything.
Let's do that.
This isn't the kind of weather that makes you think about spending time in the great outdoors, but there's hope. Spring will come, and it's Chicago. You could be enjoying your deck for the next 90 days. In the next 90 days, I should say. Not for the next. What if you could buy patio furniture that you'll never have to replace? No painting, no staining, maintenance-free outdoor furniture from By the Yard. You can do that. Find your forever furniture at bytheyard.net or visit their showrooms in Vernon Hills or Yorktown Center. Bytheyard.net, winter will not last forever. Hard to imagine that's true, but we're just going to go with that.
Right.
All right.
48 hours of sub-zero temperatures.
Andre Darlis is going to be joining us here in just a moment. She's got the reporters tonight.
And love the reporters.
Yes.
I'm enjoying it.
She will explain everything that is going on there. But first, these fine, important announcements. It is going to be cold, and Andrea Darlis is going to have the reporters coming your way after we're out of here in a few minutes. And she's also telling us something that is
very disturbing
and
you guys,
disgusting.
I love you.
Absolutely
you know
disgusting.
How much I love you. I'm here with you now. That's what's important, right?
But you're,
we wish you didn't tell us.
You're
what
going
you just
to warm
told us.
Weather tomorrow.
I'm
right?
going on vacation tomorrow, but I booked this like 2 months ago. I didn't even know it was going to be this cold. You still love me, right?
Nope.
Nope. Hey. Just don't post anything, okay?
So
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, exactly. What you just want to see suffering. I'm just going to show you my nose falling off. That's going to send you
selfie.
Pictures of that or my earlobes or whatever happens there.
Rowan Insta. with half a nose.
Coming up on the reporters?
Well, tonight we will warm your hearts. Tamon Bradley from Channel 9, Phil Rogers from Channel 5, and Seamus Toomey from Block Club Chicago will all be in studio. We'll be talking about the top stories of the day, what's going on in the city, in the state, and we're going to find out about their backgrounds, greatest stories they've ever covered, and stories that they're still chasing.
I got to say that Block Club Chicago is pretty good.
They are.
I was worried.
So impressed with them.
DNA Info went out, and they have done a really nice job covering
Seamus
Chicago.
And Stephanie really have pretty much founded that and made it what it is today, and they're doing a great job.
They are.
So,
and that Tamon Bradley is the more talented of the Bradley brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
There at WGN TV.
I'm telling you, he is one of the finest political reporters.
He's great.
He has just morphed into this fantastic political reporter, getting scoops left and right.
And this is a town that has the best working in the nation in terms of local political reporters. And so it's a very tough group to break into, and Tamon's done an amazing job.
He really has. And Phil, of course, has covered some of the biggest stories in the city, so very psyched to have them. You guys stay warm. Have a great night.